Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome back to another installment of the Geekeasy podcast.
Howdy, Internet.
What's up, Internet? I'm Pixel Dan.
Jonathan Leonard.
And we are once again joined by our guest, wrestling analyst.
I'm the analyst.
Wrestling analyst, Jaron McCaffrey.
Also our Furyverse expert, that's why he's here today.
Furyverse, yes.
One of ours.
He's on the show and we're not actually discussing wrestling today, but we invited him back because a big portion of the show is going to be dedicated to discussing the latest installment of the Fast and the Furious franchise, as well as the franchise as a whole, because all three of us are fans of the movie, and you two, I think, are especially like big fans of the franchise. Yeah. So that's why we're all joined here together again, so we can discuss some cool movies. But before we get into all the Fast and the Furious goodness, we probably should touch on a few of the the big movie topics that have been coming out over the last couple weeks here.
Yeah, some great stuff.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff.
So you guys know there's going to be a new Star Wars?
What?
We did. We did know that.
Just found out about that.
Just found out about it. That's going to be in December. Hey, speaking of Star Wars Celebration is getting ready to happen this weekend, which means we're probably going to have a lot of Star Wars news after this weekend is over.
Presumably, hopefully, a trailer anytime now.
Yes, yes. Well, Disney announced that they're going to be streaming the Episode 7 panel from Celebration online. So you'll be able to get online and watch that panel live, which is where they are supposedly going to be debuting a new trailer.
I had not heard that before.
Yes, yes. So there should be a new trailer. That panel will be hitting online, and then I'm sure once the news gets out there, they'll be releasing an official trailer. So we will finally have some new Star Wars stuff to take a look at. So Celebration is going to be kind of big as far as like everything Star Wars goes. Because if you remember when I talked about Toy Fair, how Hasbro had nothing for Star Wars on display. Everything has been on a Star Wars lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all waiting for this weekend for Celebration.
You talked about it on the Toy Fair episode. You brought that up.
There's going to be a flood of Star Wars
news only after makes this sense. Weekend. Yeah. And again, remember, because last year at Toy Fair, refresh my memory, I wasn't there. Did they do a lot of Star Wars stuff?
Oh,
or were
they
starting to reduce already?
No, they had a bunch of new stuff the year before, because it was the year that they launched the 6-inch figures. Okay. So there was a ton of those. And then this year, there was nothing.
So this year, they went from full speed to nothing.
Yeah.
And that Star Wars festival is only... It's in its infancy.
Yeah.
It is not that old, correct?
Well, it's been around, let's see, it's been around since Episode 1 started. That's the year they started Celebration.
Okay.
Yep.
I thought this was only...
Because I went to Star Wars Celebration 2, and that was the year they were promoting Episode 2. So they've been doing it every year since Episode 1 started.
Okay, because I thought it was mid to late aughts.
No.
Like under 10 years for sure.
No.
But apparently it's been around since the 90s, technically, right? Well,
99
was the first one.
It's been around since then.
Yeah. Okay. So strike that point.
Yep.
But what's happening now? Celebration is going to start getting bigger. That's where Hasbro is going to be taking all their toy stuff. It seems
it's a Disney
because
show too.
Exactly. It's all in house. It's like a lot of their Marvel announcements. Marvel's not going to be at Comic Con this year hardly at all. They've got a billion things happening, and they've already said we don't know if we're going to Comic Con.
Yeah.
Because they have their own stuff going
on. Yeah. Exactly.
Because Disney runs it all, and you know, there's a lot of places who could run this stuff this way. And it would be really upsetting because a lot of places run franchises like that poorly and ruin stuff like this. But you know, like Disney makes everything accessible.
Right.
They make everything very fan friendly, and they don't necessarily hit every festival and every Comic-Con anymore. They do their stuff in house, but it's still presented in such an easy manner. Like it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's definitely grown too. Celebration has just from the early days, because I went that second Star Wars Celebration, and it was a relatively smaller show at that point. It was like a small con that's dedicated to one brand. Usually those are smaller shows.
Yeah.
But now they're at a point where they're doing this large stuff. They've got new movies they're promoting. They got the Disney name behind it. All the toy companies, all the major toy companies that do Star Wars product are going to the show. There's convention exclusives. I mean, that right there just shows you how big this thing is.
Yeah,
I mean, it's gotten so much bigger.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've even been holding it like on the Disney property the last couple of years. It's in Anaheim this year, so it's right there by Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
They've had it in Orlando, like on the Disney Parks property. I mean, so Disney's already kind of, even before they purchased Star Wars, it's already been like kind of very closely tied with the Disney brand. So,
well, they've always had that working relationship with Lucas anyway, so so it's worked out. And again, now, I mean, they are a marketing machine, and they've got all their stuff very well oiled.
Right. Gosh, we were just talking about before how we wouldn't be surprised if they start their own Marvel convention,
sure,
and that's why they're not going to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
They're just going to do their own Marvel
stuff. Well, again, I mean, remember when they made that big announcement?
MarvelCon.
Several months ago about all of the Marvel timeline through the way through Phase
that's
3.
Right.
You know, what do they do? They just set up their own press event.
They set up their own press event.
Yeah. They're just like, and they invited a bunch of fans.
Yeah.
Like, press and fans. Like, it was some sort of special invite thing. I think it might have been a Twitter contest. I don't remember specifically. But I remember just thinking, man, these guys know their market, and they're hitting it.
They do. Yeah, man. I'm excited for all the Star Wars stuff. I'm really,
for
really
sure.
excited. So we'll have a lot of things to talk about, I'm sure, on the next episode.
When we talk about, well, you want to just start with Terminator?
Go ahead.
I know we're not going to talk about it much.
Do it. Yeah, let's jump into Terminator.
New Terminator trailer hit not very long ago, and it was a spoilery trailer, maybe?
That's what I was reading. Like, I know the trailer hit, and I was going to watch it, but I saw, like, several posts go up that's like, if you don't like spoilers, don't watch this trailer, because they spoil, like, a plot twist or something.
Yeah. And Jared, you're a Terminator guy.
I'm the Terminator
guy.
He is the Terminator guy in this group, for sure.
For sure.
And like, five things I love in this world. Terminator's one of them.
Fast and Furious is another, and the other, wrestling. And the other two will leave as a mystery.
Okay.
Or you can say them now. I didn't know you were going right there.
Oh, well, I mean, I know what they are.
Okay,
it's Kung
shoot
Fu
it
Panda
out.
Panda and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
Kung
nice.
Kung Fu Panda, wow.
Kung Fu Panda's in the five.
And there's three is coming out this
year. So ninja animals.
Yeah. Well, ninja and Kung Fu, I mean, you know.
Martial arts animals.
Martial arts animals.
All right. All right. You know, I knew four
robots.
Of them. I knew four of them.
Robots.
Skin-covered robots and the Rock.
I knew four of them, and I knew you loved Kung Fu Panda. I just didn't realize it was on the list. That's impressive. So
Turtles is on there, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. But point being, we got the Terminator guy here, and he's very hesitant about watching the trailer, too. So I'm actually the only one who has seen that trailer. And I don't know what to do with you guys. Because as soon as you went, we heard it's spoilery, we don't want to watch it. I went, yeah, probably, definitely. I watched that trailer and went, oh, that's interesting. Weird that they give that away. Except anybody who's watched it, who's listening. This is funny, too, because what do? With our audience? We spoil everything.
We usually do.
We ruin stuff.
We
and what are we doing now? We're actually giving spoiler alerts because I can't talk about this trailer in depth.
It's one thing to spoil things for our listeners. You can't spoil things for co-hosts.
Yeah,
it's different, apparently.
But anybody listening knows what I'm talking about. There's a very strong story aspect that they just kind of throw in like, hey, this is happening. And I remember seeing it going, weird. Interesting. Seems a bizarre release of that. But my theory is, if it's in the trailer, and that fairly prominent in the trailer, it's probably known within the first 10 minutes of movie. However, I don't know that for sure, so I can't push you guys into forcing you to watch the trailer, because I don't want to spoil anything if you don't want it spoiled.
Well,
but
I'm usually not even a spoiler. Like, I'm not, you know, I can still enjoy something if I, I'm not like a spoiler guy. I'm not like, oh, no, spoilers, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, whatever, you know, if I find out about it, if it's good, I'll still enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know,
my theory is also, by the time this movie comes out, you guys will know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to be the one that makes
that
happen.
True.
That's probably a good
thing. I'm the same way. I usually don't care too much about spoilers. I don't actively seek spoilers out.
Yeah.
But I don't get too upset like if something little gets spoiled for me. But yeah, another one, aside from the Terminator one, another one I've avoided watching is they just released like an extended scene or footage of the Hulkbuster versus Hulk fight from the new
Avengers
movie.
I have avoided that. I've avoided
so
a lot of Avengers
stuff. I was like,
stuff.
I don't really want to watch that before the movie.
Yeah.
I'd rather see that in the movie.
I've avoided a lot of Avengers stuff. Like
so,
I did watch a longer Avengers trailer, and I was like, That's awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't watch the Hulkbuster thing. I saw that. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
But, like, I clicked on, like, the third and final trailer or something.
Yeah.
And it was
did see that.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a great trailer.
Well, and that's that's exactly what I did. Like, the actual official regular trailers that have come out, I've watched. Any of the, like, new TV spot, extended version of this, whatever else, I've avoided that stuff.
Yeah,
but it's less because it's not like, oh, I don't want to see story aspects. I'm afraid of something getting spoiled. It's more just like, hey, it's a couple weeks away.
Right. Yeah, it's
and
so
I just
close. Want to
save what I can for it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, they did that with Furious 7, too. And mm-hmm. I didn't watch any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, they were like, here's the Abu Dhabi scene. I was like, I want to see it in the movie.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Like, I know what he does. Well, want to see it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like, we'll talk about it more when we get to that point, but like, the end of the movie was all over the internet the day the movie came out.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
because of the internet.
I know, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's, and we've griped about that a time or two, and we will continue to. That's what was our fear with Daredevil,
uh-huh.
with the TV show, which we'll get to soon, but we both had the same talk. Hey, they released a picture of Daredevil right before the show came out. Kind of wish they had waited for the show, except that would work on a week-to-week episodic broadcast television show, maybe.
Yeah.
It won't work on Netflix, because on Netflix, you know some jerk is sitting there at 2 in the morning going, I can't wait to skip right to episode 13 and put screen caps online.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know
if that guy exists anyway, they might as well just release the picture.
They might as well be official. Yeah, because I was bummed for a minute.
I
want
to be friends with that guy.
Yeah.
I think
I'm
you
sure
are.
I'm sure he's out there.
Guy. He's just not very good at interneting.
Yeah, because they put that picture online like the day before it launched on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, here's the red costume. And I was like, ah. Oh.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wanted to see him get the red costume in the show, but then when I thought about it, I was like, eh.
Yep.
It would have been all
which was
the
funny because,
anyway,
I mean,
as soon as,
they started putting pictures out of that show months ago, and I kept thinking, I'm kind of scared and nervous and upset. I want to see the red costume. And then when they did finally release it, I'm like, oh, come on, guys. You went this long.
I know, right? Yeah. They seriously waited all the way until the day that the show launched. And they're like, oh, by the way, here's the red costume.
Yeah.
Revealed.
Yeah. But we were jumping way out of ourselves. Let's zip right back to Terminator.
Okay.
Because we can't talk about Terminator very much, unfortunately, other than for me to say I saw that trailer and I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it in a way that I knew I would be, I just hadn't felt yet. And that's kind of the segue back into the Star Wars topic we were starting about. Because a new Terminator is coming out, especially with Schwarzenegger in it. I love Terminator. And I love Schwarzenegger movies.
Right.
That is the kind of guy I am. That's all there is to it. And so I was super excited. And there's all the hesitation of, well, what are they going to do with that? And then me going, you know what, they'll figure something out. You know, and if it's terrible, it's terrible, whatever. But I'm going to be excited for it. But I never felt. Like, a couple of trailers came out, and I went, ooh, it's getting there, but it was never there. And then I saw that new trailer, and I went, like, man, like, I know a Terminator movie's coming out, and it just hit me with a shovel that a Terminator movie's coming out.
Nice.
And looking into Star Wars is kind of the same way. I'm looking at 2015, which we've talked about how huge of a year that is for movies.
There's
and
so many
geekdom
movies
in general.
Year. Yeah.
And there's a brand new Star Wars coming out in 2015, like this year.
Yeah.
And probably a good one. You know, like I'm guessing, I'm hoping this will be universally known as the one that brought the franchise back because of all the griping that goes on about 1-3. And we all liked 1-3 for the most part.
I was gonna say,
but the internet,
the one that brought the franchise back.
Yeah, well, everybody hates one.
Yeah,
like we hate, like we'll that's watch why. One, but we hate one. You know? but two, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
two,
that's what I'm saying.
Two gets a surprising amount of flack.
Really?
Yeah, which I don't understand. I love
to. I don't talk to nerds.
Well, the prequels in general get still
a
ton of
and
flack.
Again, and again.
Sith
a ton
get
of
flack.
I like Revenge of the Sith.
I don't
a lot.
Understand it at all.
And we've talked about it before. Yeah. Like, we like those movies.
There are
but
people who hate it. And I think it's just because one was so bad they gave up. But I don't get it. But regardless, like, I believe fully right now this will be the one that everybody goes, hey, here we are. It's back. And that excitement level hasn't hit me yet. It did a little bit when the teaser came out. The teaser came out and the Falcon blew up on the screen and the music hit and my soul just a little bit went, oh, it's coming. Like, it's here.
Yeah.
I never even realized it, but it's here. But it faded rather quickly. I think when that trailer finally hits, all of a sudden it's going to be like, man, I'm not sure how many of these other movies matter anymore.
Right, right. You know? I mean, the only glimpse we have so far was that teaser trailer, which was literally just a bunch of little tiny scenes kind of pasted together. Like, once we get a full trailer.
They gave you a bunch of, like, random clips of new stuff.
Yeah.
And then, which gets you excited, but then they're like, the Falcon and the music, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, okay, but then it's just over, you know? Yeah.
See, I was going to bring that up when you guys started talking. I don't know that I could get much more excited. Like, when the Falcon comes up and the music hits, like, in that moment, I cannot possibly be excited by seeing... You know, anything more than that.
I don't disagree with you even one iota, but the thing is the in that moment part. Because that was my problem. Like, that day, seriously, I called my wife, and I was like, we got to buy our kids Star Wars stuff. Now. Like, right now. We need to. Like, that actually happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was so quick, and then it was gone. And the problem is, again, in a normal year, I'd probably still be holding that onto that. But in this year, I watched that, and for a couple of days, I was super excited, and then all of a sudden, Avengers stuff started slapping me. Daredevil stuff started slapping me. You know, you get reminded that even though you don't see a lot of it yet, there's a Jurassic Park, there's a Terminator, there's...
Jurassic World.
You know, everything else that's coming out this year, and it just kind of gets lost in the flush. I think when I finally see a trailer that has Luke Skywalker and Han Solo having a conversation... Like, the 8-year-old isn't going to be able to contain himself anymore, and then he's just going to be here for the rest of the year. Okay. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Plus, by the time that happens, the Avengers thing will be in full swing and starting to go on the downhill part. And the Avengers is the big barrier that makes you go, ooh.
You're so close to Avengers.
It's right there.
It's
it'll be here before most of our listeners hear our next show.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Like,
we'll probably tape one more right before it comes out, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it won't even be up until about that day.
Man, so much is going on.
Yeah. They released a Jurassic World clip, too, and I haven't even seen it, actually. I tried watching it, but when I was trying to watch it, there was something screwed with the internet connection, and I couldn't get any audio. So I was like, hey, here's two people talking. One of them is Chris Pratt.
I'm excited for that movie.
Yeah, I am, too. I kept hearing a bunch of
weird...
When was
the last time you watched Jurassic Park? It does not hold up.
No, it does, totally.
I think the first one.
I watched it not 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched it.
What if we call
the movie...
For
sure
last week. Nah, pass.
For sure holds up.
What if we call the movie Star-Lord versus the Dinosaurs? Is that is that more intriguing to you?
Not as intriguing as Star-Lord Rides a Raptor, but I don't think that happens.
Star-Lord Rides a Raptor.
You don't know, though.
How about I don't?
The dinosaurs go, who? Come on, man. We just have the whole same dialogue and everything, but it's dinosaurs. Yeah.
I think that'll be forgettable. That's my call right now.
I think
if it had come out last year, we'd still be talking about it.
Yeah.
But they decided to let it out this year, and you know what? We're gonna see it, we're gonna like it, and then Terminator's gonna come out and we're gonna start talking about Star Wars and then we're gonna move on with our lives.
I'm excited for it, and I hope you're wrong, but I do totally believe that is a far possibility. Yeah. Because of the year it's coming out, because 2015 is just absolute bananas. If that had come out in 2014, it would have won Nerd Oscar for Best Picture.
Nerd Oscar.
You know, because 2014 kind of blew.
Yeah.
But 2015's got a lot of stiff competition.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of I see it that way.
Hey, why don't we do Nerd Oscars?
We could do that. That has to be a thing. We could do Nerd Oscars.
Yeah.
At the very least,
we need to do an episode every year, but it's probably got to come at the tail end of summer when we're past most of the nerd stuff.
Well, yeah, it would have to.
Yeah. Or right at the end of the year.
Make a note of this, and we will put together the rules of Nerd Oscars.
Yeah, we got to.
We'll do a Nerd Oscar episode. Yeah.
All right. Internet, remind us about Nerd Oscars.
Yes, please remind us. send us a notification.
Consider the note taken.
You guys should probably just cut your year in the middle this year, and that way you don't have to compete Avengers against Star Wars.
No joke,
I don't,
dude.
I don't, dude.
I don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to see the grosses on those movies compared.
Just do the Nerdskers in like
the Nerdskers
in like August.
Ermagerd, Nerdskers.
Nerdskers. Look, we already got this. It's all piecing together.
We
right
just
now.
Marketed it.
Oh my god! Name of the episode, right there.
I can't. Yeah. That's the thing. That like the end of December is gonna hit, and I'm gonna go. Man, Avengers 2 made more than Star Wars. I'm going to be really mad about that. Or the Avengers 2 is going to break every record, and then Star Wars is going to break its records. And I'm going to be mad about that. That's one of those things I can't picture myself being happy about.
You're just going to be mad either yeah, way
exactly.
that goes.
Oh, I'm kind of scared for it.
Awesome.
You know what's fun is that we've got franchises now, and think back to 10 years ago. We've got franchises now we can feel confident comparing to Star Wars.
Right.
Those didn't, no. Used to, it would be like, well, kind of Indiana Jones, and Die Hard on a different level, maybe, just on a pure guy level.
Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
That would rank up
All
there.
All right, I'll put that one up there. I'd probably put that one up there kind of above Die
Indiana
Hard.
Indiana Jones.
Because that's more of a nerd level than a straight guy level. Die Hard's like the pinnacle of all-out action movies, but
I mean, what guy doesn't like Back to the Future? Because I will slap him.
That's okay. I don't mean guy versus girl. I mean like machismo versus.
Okay.
I see. So, but yeah, but now we've got. I mean, now we've got Avengers. We've got
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, the Marvel Universe kind of as a whole. We've got all these other, like, we're not as excited about the Terminators and the Jurassic Worlds as we are the Star Wars, but they're all coming back kind of into that level.
I'm excited about the Terminators.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
He's excited. Okay. Nerddom in generalism. But again, well, like, we can all, that's the thing, we can all kind of pick our own. Because you can be as excited about the Terminators as you are about some of this other stuff. I was as excited about Furious 7 as I'm going to be about anything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to like most of these more, maybe, but there's nothing that's going to be like revving my motors, pardon the pun. Quite
good one.
You know, quite more than what that did.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, like, I was thinking right before WrestleMania, and I was like, man, WrestleMania, and then Furious 7. I'm glad those aren't competing.
Yeah.
I was like, and then it's the Avengers.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That's a lot of awesome stuff. Yeah, it was a good WrestleMania year, too. There's a lot of good things in 2015.
It's going to be the year,
it's
man.
It's a benchmark.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good year.
Yeah. It's going to stop mattering after 2015.
Nothing's going to be able to compete with it. Well, we do have a lot of good things to look forward to still with the Marvel Universe, and this is some exciting news to go along with it. We already talked about how awesome it is that Marvel Studios has made a deal with Sony and brought Spider-Man officially into the Marvel Universe. We had a whole episode where we geeked out about that.
Yep.
And in that episode, we talked about...
Our heads exploded.
Yeah, our heads did explode. And in that episode, we talked about who it could be, which Spider-Man might it be. Because there was a lot of... talk online if it was going to be Peter Parker or if it was going to be Miles Morales.
Which was always the funny thing because it was always Marvel going, you know, we really think we can do a lot with Parker, and the internet going, maybe they'll do Miles. and Marvel going, you know, we've never really had our shot at Parker. And the internet going, maybe it'll be the Morales kid. You know, but it was so widespread that it really became like Marvel stopped denying it or saying anything at all, and you start going, maybe they're thinking about it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of those dangerous things, like, because, I mean, Marvel obviously knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they're also a big studio. Mm-hmm. So, like, when they start hearing a lot of buzz about this one thing, they probably do pause and go, hey, there's an awful lot of buzz about this thing.
Yeah.
Even though nobody wants a Miles Morales Marvel Universe Spider-Man, they're just going, well, what if?
Yeah.
No, they all want Peter Parker.
Yeah. I would agree that at least the majority would want Peter Parker.
There's a small faction on the internet who really wanted just anything different.
Just something different.
Yeah. But we all have to remember, too, is I love the internet. I love you all. that you're listening. But the internet is not the audience.
Yeah.
The internet is a loud part of the audience.
Well, and we talked about that in that episode. Yeah. How the mainstream public that goes to see those movies aren't going to know who the heck Miles Morales is, but Peter Parker is kind of a household name.
Exactly.
So they would be like, well, exactly. That's, where's Peter Parker?
And I don't, you know? I don't think anybody has a good reason to really not want to ever see a Miles Morales movie, but that's not how you bring him into the universe.
Yeah.
You bring him into the universe with what you know.
I don't know, because they just had huge success with the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and nobody knew who any of them
were. Also, valid point.
But
valid point.
But here's the thing with that, though. They didn't go, here's the Guardians of the Galaxy, and everybody went, oh, we know exactly what that is. Hey, what is this?
Yeah, good call.
You know? Yeah. They all know who Spider-Man is, and they know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
I think they should do the Spider-Man. How much would that throw everybody
out? I already said I wanted to see Ben Reilly just be Spider-Man.
He did. That's another thing I think the internet hates, but I'd be there.
I'd be down for the Scarlet Spider movie.
Just the Scarlet Spider shows up instead of Spider-Man. Yeah. That'd be amazing. So anyway, if you guys haven't figured out what we're getting at here, it's been confirmed that it is, in fact, Peter Parker that's going to be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I love how nonchalant it was, too.
Yeah. Well, it was Kevin
Feige,
or Feige, or however.
I always thought it was Feige.
We do that every time.
Yeah, I think it's Feige, though.
So he did an interview, and he confirmed that it's Peter Parker, but some of the other stuff he said was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, there's already a young kid running around New York City in a homemade version of the Spider-Man costume in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You just don't know it yet. In Spider-Man's very specific case, where there have been two retellings of that origin in the last whatever it's been, 13 years, for us, we're going to take it for granted that people already know that and the specifics.
Which is awesome.
So, in the Marvel world that we've already seen, Spider-Man's there. We just haven't seen him.
He's already there. His uncle's probably died. Yep. He's gone through the whole thing. It just hasn't been on film. And more importantly, it won't be on film.
Yes.
Other than maybe a few flashbacks.
They might make some
there.
References to it, just maybe. Yeah. But so he's there already. He is already Spider-Man.
Yep.
And now we're going to get to... they're just going to introduce him that way. This guy already been swinging around as Spider-Man? Yep. And I think that's perfect.
Well, but some of the other stuff I thought he kind of focused on when he was talking about that is the, you know, the idea that they've got a different version of Spider-Man than the movies have used, and that's kind of what they want to focus on because they want to explore some of that stuff more. They're going to focus on high school for a while, it sounds like.
Yeah, it says he's going to be a high school-aged Peter Parker, which is awesome.
And they're
going to
focus on that because they've had, you know, Tobey and Andrew Garfield, I think, were both, like, close to 30 when they took over and were playing the high school kid.
Yeah.
And then they got him out of high school real quick. And then they kind of went on. But now I believe they're focusing for long term. Like, they want someone real young to play Spider-Man in high school several times. And they want to focus on that nerdy sort of Parker, like the one that doesn't quite fit in. Because, again, too, remember the other ones. Like, they both played kind of nerd outcasts in high school. And then they graduate and they're just normal guys. And they're confident and they're cool and whatever else. And they were both good renditions. They worked on what they were doing. But it's not the... It's not the Spider-Man you necessarily remember and love.
Right. Well, that was a big part of Spider-Man's character in the comics in those early days. And that was one of the things that, you know, Stan Lee has even talked about, that they did different with Spider-Man that wasn't already in comic books at that time. You know, you had your Superman and Batman and all these characters who were all larger than life, you know, superheroes or whatever. And Peter Parker focused on... like having to deal with his day-to-day high school life with bullies picking on him and all this drama going on there that none of these other comics were really touching on at the time. So that was a big part of Spider-Man's development. So we really haven't seen a lot of that on
exactly.
screen.
Exactly. And the different aspects of it, because I read it was kind of an extended version of that Feige interview when he was talking about basically all the different stuff. You know, like we've seen good... Spider-Man. On film, you know, but we haven't seen certain aspects, which I thought Garfield was a lot better than Maguire on the wit.
I did too.
Which, granted, was probably as much the writing as anything else and the way they were telling the story. But Feige was saying, you know, like, we don't really have the definitive Spider-Man on film where he is that kid who is just disrupting the fight scenes with his smack talk. And we don't have the kid who is using that as basically almost a defense mechanism because he doesn't necessarily have this full confidence.
Right.
So he's just out there throwing out insults or whatever, you know, because it sort of, what's the word to use? I wish I could remember the exact quote. But basically, he's just saying, you know, this kid isn't sure of himself. So he's trying to do whatever he's got to do to put himself in that situation. Yeah, to compensate. And so what is he doing? He's going out there and he's being funny. He's being insulting. He's doing whatever else in this fight. And so it sounds like they've got a really strong grasp on the real Spider-Man. And that was always my complaints about, especially the Maguire ones. Like, I watched those movies, and at the time, they were my thing. They were, you know, the one. Well, I was like, man, this is what I've always wanted to see.
For sure.
Except, it's not that funny.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I always read Spider-Man, and he was always funny. And now he's just looking for an excuse to take his mask off so you can see who's under it, you know? So they sound like they got a grasp on what they really want Spider-Man to be, and they're going to focus on the high school thing, which sounds cool, which I also read something, and I need to go and fact-check this. Something was saying that the original Amazing Spider-Man run, he was only in high school for like 29 issues.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't like feel right, because that's only a few years, you know? But then they were saying, that same article was also saying, you know, but then Bendis came along and did the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, the Ultimate Spider-Man.
And he was in high school for a decade worth of comics, you know?
Yeah, he's in high school, like, through all of that, or through a lot of it.
Exciting also, Spider-Man things.
I like this quote here, too, that says, we've already designed the costume. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. He says, we've already designed the costume, which is different than any of the others that have come before, yet ours is classic Spidey, as you'll see.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly what that means, because the other costumes always looked like Spider-Man.
Yeah, the costumes have been fine.
You know? So, but I'm excited to see that. I think that's really cool. Maybe they're putting the web in the armpits.
Oh, hey.
That'd be not cool. I never liked the web in the armpits, and like in the old stuff, like Amazing Fantasy, when he had like the...
They were fine. They're for gliding purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why he had it. But... yeah, so that's exciting. And he's going to make his debut in Captain America Civil War, which is just going to be an amazing movie already.
Which, again, also means we have to see some of this stuff sooner than later.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, that movie's coming out in a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
A year.
That's insane. And that movie is basically going to be Avengers 2.5.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, aside from it already having Captain America and Iron Man in it, and Spider-Man's making his debut in it.
I have to assume Ant-Man.
We know that Black Panther's got a big role in it, because they've already said that. Yeah. I mean, like, all these guys are going to be in this movie.
Like, why would Rudd be absent from
Black
that?
Widow's in it again. They already said that, too.
Hawkeye?
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So it's like Avengers 2.5.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Oh, man. Marvel is so cool. Oh, hey. You were talking about funny stuff. Have you seen any of the recent Deadpool stuff?
Some of it, yeah.
Did you see, they did this thing where it was Mario...
Mario Lopez.
Mario Lopez.
Slater.
Yeah, Slater.
Did you see
interviewing
that?
Ryan Reynolds, and then Deadpool comes in and kills him?
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing. That was pretty amazing.
Well, and the whole thing was to release the, like, to announce that it was getting the R rating.
Yeah.
Which is funny, too, because I'm not against that per se, but I was never an R, like, I don't think that movie has to be R rated.
Well.
But I'm fine that it is.
I think it does, because his comics are very R rated.
But are they?
Yeah.
Like, I know there's a lot of violence in them, but they still go by whatever code Marvel does. I mean, he doesn't do strictly adult-themed comics. He's in the regular Marvel Universe. They have to be semi-accessible to kids. I know they don't do a lot of cursing and stuff. It's all about violence, but I think you can do a lot of that on-screen and still capture... off-screen, I mean, and still capture...
I'm sure he'll be cussing in that movie.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Now, like I said, like, I'll still see it. I'm not unhappy that it's R, but everybody was like, oh, they're going to make a PG-13 and it's going to suck. And I was going, it'll be fine either way, guys. It's cool.
I love it, though. It feels to me like Ryan Reynolds is like really wanting to make up for Wolverine Origins and maybe a little bit of Green Lantern, too.
Probably.
Like, he's just like he's trying to get back on the good graces of everybody.
Well, Ryan Reynolds wants something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of those guys that should be, so, you know, I mean, he had the classic good looks, he's funny, he could, you know, he can act, I mean, he's not, I don't know, a good actor, but he's not, I mean...
He's no Peter O'Toole? I'm trying to think
I can't think of anyone. He's no Brando, but, you know, he can carry his own, you know what I mean? And you expected him to be this big star, but he never got there. And then he started doing superhero movies and...
Ruining them.
Yeah.
Well, and in fairness, I don't think he ever ruined one.
No.
But he was in ones that were pre-ruined.
He was in two that are considered like the worst.
Yeah. But not because of him. And again, I went into Green Lantern going, that is the dumbest choice for a Green Lantern in history. Why in the world would he play Hal Jordan?
Yeah.
And I watched that movie and I went, okay, this was terrible as expected. He wasn't as bad as I thought he'd be.
Yeah.
You know? But the movie was awful because they were trying to make... They were trying to find an Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they went,
yeah.
Who can we get that can play Robert Downey Jr. playing a different superhero?
Yeah.
You know? And that's not who Hal Jordan is at
for
all.
Sure, that's what they were trying you know? To do.
But that is exactly the thing. They came to him with Wolverine Origins, and he went, you know, they made a couple of really good X-Men movies, and then the third one. But they made a couple of really good X-Men movies. Hugh Jackman's great. And granted, I'm putting this all in his mouth. I've never heard this from him, but I'm speculating. So they came to him and went, hey, play Deadpool in Origins. And he went, Deadpool's perfect for me.
Yeah.
And X-Men movies are good. Let's do that. And then he got there and went, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? But he was stuck in it. And then they came to him and went, hey, we want you to play Green Lantern. And he went, okay. Like, what about Flash or somebody that makes more sense for someone of my comedic talent? And they went, nope, we're doing Green Lantern and we want you. And he went, okay, I'll give it a whirl. And it didn't work out.
I hope this is all exactly how it went.
Yeah. But now someone came to him and went, hey, we kind of want to do Deadpool right this time. And we want you to have a lot of input.
Yeah.
And so I think he finally went, okay, now I'm hesitant, but now I'm excited.
Right.
Because I've been burned twice, but the third time's
yeah,
a charm.
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of creative control
I think
over
he does,
this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, in the costumes comic book
yeah.
accurate, and,
yep.
like, you know, just yep. the humor. I love how he draws the picture and holds it up, and I loved
yeah.
how he was calling him Slater.
Yep.
He's like, it's okay, Jesse. Slater can't hurt you anymore.
Yeah.
That killed me. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Was there any other big movie news that you can think of that we need to touch on today?
We didn't talk about the new Ant-Man trailer.
Oh, we didn't talk about it as I'm pulling it up right here.
Yeah,
so they just launched a full trailer because the first one was sort of like one of the
yeah,
short
like,
teaser
yeah.
trailer or
yeah.
whatever. So this was our first full trailer for Ant-Man. What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. Now, I've been on the camp that's already excited about Ant-Man, not because it's Ant-Man, because
Because Ant-Man.
But it's Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel hasn't failed us yet. It's Paul Rudd. I've always loved Paul Rudd. Not necessarily every one of his movies, but him in general.
Yeah.
It feels like a can't-miss sleeper to me. Now, I don't think it's going to be like a Guardians-level sleeper.
No.
But I think it's going to be really entertaining.
I think it looks entertaining. And Ant-Man is one of those characters. I mean, he was an original Avenger, so he's mm-hmm. been one of those heroes that's been very absent from
yeah.
the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And although Hank Pym was the original, and they're going with the
yeah.
second
well, Pym's
iteration.
In it, though.
Pym is in it,
yeah.
but he's an older
yeah.
character, and they're going with the second iteration of Ant-Man. But it does look... It looks fun. The trailer makes it look fun. All the stuff with the ants looks cool, and him riding on the ants and stuff, which is... the very comic booky thing that you would expect. So I'm really glad that they're keeping all that stuff there.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I definitely think it looks fun. It looks
yeah.
like it's going to have a good mix of of humor and action.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is what you, I guess, for sure expect with Paul Rudd in the movie. But,
yeah, exactly.
You know.
And that's kind of what I was saying. The first thing I thought when I saw the trailer is that's... they announced Paul Rudd was going to be Ant-Man, and I went, okay. I mean, I don't know a lot about Ant-Man. I wouldn't have guessed Paul Rudd for a superhero.
Yeah,
but how many times have I thought, I don't know if they'll make a good superhero, and they've blown it out of the water. You know. And again, I love Paul Rudd. So I was immediately excited, but it was kind of one of those, hesitance, not the right word, but just kind of reduced excitement. Like,
mm-hmm.
that'll be great. I'm sure it'll be great, you know. I think this trailer, even past the teaser was just kind of more of the same. This full trailer, when I actually really get to see it, is my first hint that, hey, Paul Rudd's in the Marvel Universe now. Like, that there I should be excited about. Even if this movie turns out to not be that great, there's still probably 8 other Paul Rudd in the Marvel Universe movies coming. Like, I will probably get to see Paul Rudd hanging out with Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark.
Yep.
You know,
probably.
I don't know which Avengers movie it'll be in, or if it'll be in Civil War or where, but that scene's going to happen, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be fun.
I'm
excited about it. It's a good one to come out this year after Avengers, because
yes.
it's kind of like, you know, it's going to
yeah.
Avengers is going to be so huge and crazy, and we're all going to be so hopped up and excited about it. So this is kind of like that lower level one that they can kind of sneak in there.
Extend that timeline out some. Because what have we gotten recently? We got Captain America 2. last April, which just blew the doors off of expectations. Like, hey, we all love Captain America. This will be fun. Oh, my God. This is, like, the best comic movie I've seen, you know, as far as, like, straight movies go. Like, how good was Winter Soldier?
Right.
Mind-blowing good. You know, we've talked about it a dozen times. And then what do they follow up that with? This weird fringe Guardians of the Galaxy movie that no one's ever heard of. It's got a bunch of people who you've kind of seen before. No one knows what to expect from it. And then it blew all expectations straight out of the water. You know, entertainment-wise, money-wise, everything. It just blew it up. Well, how do you follow a success that great? Well, you come out with a sequel to the third biggest movie ever made. Everybody's already built in super excited for the Avengers. But that's been the trail. It's like when you looked at this 2 years ago, you went, okay, Captain America 2 will be cool, and Guardians of the Galaxy, I don't know what that is. It'll probably be fine, though. Yeah. And then Avengers, I'm excited for Avengers. And then what do? They more or less sucker-punched you with two amazing movies, like far exceeding any expectations.
Right.
And then now they've got the granddaddy coming out,
yeah,
you know, to kind of cap it. So now, seriously, because you go, Captain America 2 is great, how are you going to follow that? Guardians of the Galaxy, I never saw that coming, how are you going to follow that? Avengers 2, that's how they're going to follow that. Seriously, though, how are you going to follow that?
Right.
So now you bring it back down.
They slow it back down.
Yeah, you bring it back down.
Ant-Man's the Divas match.
Yep. That's not exactly accurate. No, I'm not going to say it's exactly accurate. It's not wrong.
Exactly accurate.
No. Because Ant-Man will still have merit.
Paul Rudd and the Bella Twin.
Nope.
That's what you're looking at.
Nope. They're both on the same part of the cycle, but they're not the exact same.
Exactly.
Ant-Man should still have merit.
Exactly the same.
Nope. Because I'm not going to buy a ticket to see Ant-Man just to go to the bathroom.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. All right. All right, I think that's a good closing point then on the movie talk. So why don't we go ahead and jump into today's big topic, which is the Fast and the Furious franchise. Did you want to go ahead and start by talking about the new movie? That's probably a good place to start.
Probably.
Right?
I was just thinking. I don't even know how to start.
Let's just talk about our thoughts on the new movie, and we'll just kind of just fall into transitioning into the.
We've all seen it.
We have all seen
now,
it.
Now we will put our disclaimer up.
Yes.
This is where spoiler alert territory comes in, because we're going to talk about it in detail, beginning, end, Paul Walker, all the stuff.
Yes.
So that is now coming. So I guess we do start with just recapping the movie.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of go from there.
Let's do it.
So the movie starts off with immediately going from where they left off 6. The post-credit sequence of 6, what do they do? They show Jason Statham.
Yes.
We now find out he is the new bad guy coming to Furious 7. And I will not exaggerate even a little bit. Jaren and I were in a crowded theater, and we both left our seats in that post-credit teaser. Like
it was exciting.
They showed that stuff from Tokyo Drift, and we knew Tokyo Drift in theory was coming up. Well, we knew it was later than anything we had seen because Han was alive.
Right.
And so they start showing that scene, and there's a hint of like, oh no.
Why are they just going to show us Han die?
What's the point of that? Yeah. Which you kind of saw coming because of the way 6 ended with Gal Gadot. I can't remember her name in the movie even now. Just watched all 6 of them.
Wonder Woman. That's her name.
You know, she bought it, and Han was sad, so you knew Han's end was coming. So they start showing that scene, but still you're like, oh no. And then the car gets hit, and then the car is on fire, and Han's sitting there dying, and then Jason Statham walked by calling Dom.
Yeah.
You know, and seriously, left our seats. Yeah. Like, we stood up. We weren't even in the back row. I don't know what the people behind us were thinking. Like, we were up, excited, you know?
They were like, yeah, these guys get it. These guys get it.
They were on their feet, too. They didn't care.
Yep. So, 7 starts off, and the first thing they give us is Jason Statham, you know? And he kind of turns around. He's in the hospital room with his brother, the bad guy from 6, who's not dead, as we probably assumed.
Right.
But real messed up. And Statham's giving him that brotherly speech. Because they had never said... Well, I know they did in the marketing. The movies didn't... Like, when they gave that teaser, they didn't say why Statham was calling
him.
You don't know me, but you're about to, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you find out in between it's Owen Shaw's brother from, you know, the bad guy from 6. Right. And that's why he's mad. These guys. So he's in the room with his brother, and it's kind of a quiet scene at first, and he turns around and he talks to his unconscious brother, telling him, hey, you know, you used to always pick fights with the big dogs, and I had to come in and end those fights, and now here you are in this situation. I'm going to have to go in one more fight from you for you. So here I go. And then he starts walking out of the hospital. Like, he gives a stern warning to a couple of
nurses,
whatever.
Nurses.
Yeah. You watch him or I'm coming for you. And then he starts walking out of the hospital and you just see mayhem.
Total chaos and destruction.
Yeah, walls are down. The lighting fixtures are hanging. Yeah. There's
dead bodies that land everywhere.
Cops and orderlies and everybody just...
Did they just slap you in the face right in the beginning like, yeah, this movie's over the top. Get ready.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep.
It's about to get balls out crazy.
Which is one of the great things about the franchise, because that's why you go back. That franchise, like no other I have ever seen, is acceptably over the top.
Oh, man. But
There are furious...
Well, they don't pretend to be anything different.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, they put it right out there for you to know it. They look, this is crazy. We know this is crazy.
Yep.
It's over the top.
Yep.
Just have fun with it.
Yep, exactly.
And that's what,
you know, there are furious movies detractors. They're out there.
Yeah.
They're wrong, but they're out there. They go, it's just too much for me. But it's not. Like, you watch those, even movie, like the stuffiest of movie critics give these movies high ratings because they go... They are what they are, and honestly, they're fun.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what they do. So they remind you right of the way at the beginning of 7, they go, hey, remember, this is a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
It's about to get bananas, you know? And so that's where you are, you know, you just go out, and then they get back, they kind of slow it down, they go to the Dom and Letty, because if we remember 6, Michelle Rodriguez came back, but she had lost all her memories.
Right.
So she rejoined the team at the end because she had been bad, but she's with Dom again, but she still can't remember anything. So they go back to Race Wars. They revisit the first movie.
Yeah, stuff from the first movie, which was fun.
Hector shows up
for
10 Hector. Seconds for no reason.
Yeah. He gets punched in the mouth.
Punched in the face. Yep.
Yep. Yep. But they just kind of do the whole thing, like, remember our roots. Here's where we came from. And the action starts to pick up fairly quickly.
I mean, pretty much. Right after that.
Yeah, which again is another mark of these movies. You know, they don't screw around a lot.
No.
They give you something high, they bring you back down, and then they shoot right into it, you know. So we see Brian O'Connor, which is Paul Walker. The first time we see him in the movie, he's got this very intense look on his face. He's behind the wheel. You hear the engine revving. And what happens next? He pulls forward 6 feet in his minivan and stops in front of the school.
Awesome.
Yeah, because he's got this 3-year-old now.
Yeah, he's a dad now.
Yep,
he's
a dad.
Family man.
He's adjusting to this, but he's clearly having his trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and then they kind of expand on that a little bit. They move right into, Vin Diesel's Dom talking to his sister, who is Brian O'Connor's wife. And she's telling him, you know, he's having a hard time adjusting to all this. He kind of misses the action.
He misses the bullets.
Yep, he misses the bullets. That's what...
Yeah. Well, before that...
We forget it. Yeah, you totally
that,
forgot about the Rock scene.
The Rock versus Jason Statham.
That happens
first. Well, it happens like right before that, I think.
Right before this.
Between Race Wars and this happening.
Yeah.
Which, mind-blowing again, right away.
Yeah, that was amazing. Because Statham just like walks... Well, it was cool because they reintroduce you to The Rock and his character and all that stuff. And then like he does that awesome... he turns around and Statham's just sitting in his chair like just getting into his file. So he just kind of like watches him for a minute.
Yep.
And then like, you know, he confronts him and Statham just finishes whatever he's doing on the computer. Doesn't care at all about The Rock being there. And then they just start fighting each other.
And then The Rock just oozes... Movie one-liners.
Dude.
Well, hold on. Because the franchise, ever since, like, Fast and Furious, four through seven.
Yeah.
So 4 through 7, the entire dialogue is just one-liners. Like, there's no, like, there are no, like, monologues or coherent speeches. It's just everybody had, like, 2 sentences. If somebody says 2 sentences in a row, that's a monologue in the Fast and Furious movies.
Which I'll point out is also brilliant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like that is the natural evolution of what these movies have become. But The Rock pushes that envelope. Like, The Rock doesn't even look like he's trying to say it naturally. You know? And again, that is not a complaint.
Yeah.
Like, that is perfect for what The Rock is in these movies. But he just oozes it. Like, it just comes out. What does he say? He says something. He's like, you know, I'm not the man. You know, like I'm the last man in the world whose computer you want to be hacking.
Yeah.
And I wish I could remember the line now. I had it when we started talking.
It was the dance with the devil line.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And then the fight starts.
Right.
You know, yeah, because Statham's like, whatever. And then boom. And you get exactly what you would want. When you first saw that end scene in 6, you thought in the back of your head, what if he just fist fights The Rock? And so what does 7 do? They open with that.
Right.
You know?
I marked hard when he hit him with the rock bottom.
Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure. And that cool little camera twist. Yeah. Yeah. And they do. They're fighting through. They're punching each other through glass windows. They're falling off ledges, through tables. Well, they're going nuts.
It was so odd. Because the beginning of that movie established Jason Statham as this crazy badass.
Yeah.
But The Rock totally holds his own just fighting against him.
Oh, The Rock totally won that fight.
Oh, yeah. Whooped him up, right? Yeah. And then it wasn't until he pulled out
the... I don't know if whooped him up is the right term. He was winning, and then he faltered, and then he grabbed a gun, and then more or less, like, the other chick comes in, and then the fight's over. He definitely won.
He exploded.
But I don't know if I'd say he whooped him.
Well, he did pretty good. He hit him with rock bottom, dude. It was over.
He did. That's true.
All he had to do was pin him.
Yeah. That's true. Or he could have jumped up and did a people's elbow.
Well, yeah, he could have. That was awesome, though, because then he explodes and falls out the window.
And they're kind of setting those first couple kind of set Statham up as an explosives guy also.
Yeah.
Like, he'll hold his own with anybody, and when he gets bored, he'll blow you up.
Yep.
You know, yeah.
So that puts The Rock in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then we cut to that.
Yeah, and then we go to the O'Connor stuff, and you know, Dom's talking to Mia, and she's saying, you know, Brian... He misses the bullets, and I don't know if he's adjusting to this. We find out she's pregnant again in the most fast and furious way possible.
Fast and furious.
And so there's all this stuff.
It's a one-liner.
Yeah.
How about 9?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, there's this package sitting on the doorstep from Tokyo. They bring up Han.
It's
the funniest thing in the world, because Paul Walker is over there at the driveway putting his kid in the minivan. They're sitting there having this serious conversation. He gets the call from the trailer, or from the credits bit in 6.
Yeah.
That's when he gets Statham's call going, Dominic Toretto, you don't know me, but you're about to. Han's dying right now, you know. For whatever reason, those 7 words make Dom pull his phone away. Luckily, he's activated his app that will tell him the call's coming from Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Because he looks at his phone and it just... ID. Yeah, he looks at his phone and it's just got a map of Japan and a dot on it. And immediately he knows his house is about to explode.
Yeah.
So he calls for everybody to get down, you know. And then they do this cool explosion thing. Actually, it was a really neat scene because they had, like I said, Paul Walker was over in the driveway. Yeah. He slams the door shut so his kid's in the van. And then they show the inside of the van and his face just... punctures the window.
Yeah,
it was really cool looking.
It was brutal.
But then at that moment, right there, boom, you're 10 minutes into this movie and it is on.
And they blew up the house, dude.
Yeah, the house.
The house.
Yep, from
is
1.
Gone.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
And then what happens? Dom goes to see The Rock.
Which
is hilarious because in these movies, The Rock looks like Vin Diesel's evil twin. It's like
bigger, evil giant.
What if Vin Diesel were approximately 20% bigger and had a goatee?
Right,
he would be The Rock.
Right,
you know? Yeah. But they
have
talk
the same because you want to talk about oozing one
liners. Yes,
I don't know if Vin. I don't know if The Rock. I don't know if The Rock could quite keep up with Vin Diesel's one-liners.
I would say The Rock is a little bit ahead. I will accept the argument that he's behind. Either way, they're neck and neck. I will tell you this much. I can all but promise you that day on set was a competition. They knew what they were doing.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But they set it up. The Rock lets Vin Diesel know this is the guy from London. This is his brother. He is badass British Special Forces. He's the kind of guy that no government will ever claim. He's the worst thing you'll ever run into. 20 guys once tried to take him down and screwed up. I have to officially tell you to leave this alone, and I'm going to, on a personal level, tell you, take this guy down. You know,
take him down. Get him.
So what do? We flash forward to Han's funeral, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, we're skipping a few tiny story bits, but whatever. We're at Han's funeral. The guy, it's kind of a creepy scene because they're all standing around and, you know, like as soon as they pull up on Tyrese and he's like, I can't do any more funerals. And you're watching this movie thinking of Paul Walker.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, who, despite the fact that he's standing next to Tyrese in this scene, you still go,
Yeah.
You know? And that's kind of the whole theme of that scene is like, we don't want to do these things anymore. And this was sort of an awkward, this is kind of one of those, there's a new director on this one. This Justin Lin did 3 through 6. Did 4 of them in a row and sort of built this franchise into what it was. And then you get tired of it, whatever. Whatever reason he had, he left. They bring James Wan in, who did a very good job of this movie, especially under the circumstances. But this is one of those scenes that I felt, even for a Fast and Furious movie, this just sort of happened. You know, because
before you get into that, I want to talk about the can't do any more funerals scene.
Yeah.
Because not only was it kind of creepy because, you know, Tyrese is going, I can't do any more funerals, man. And Paul Walker's telling him, oh, nope, just one more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was,
yep.
But that was also the scene, like the teaser scene that they had put on Fast 6 when it came out, which came out, what, a month after Paul Walker had died? So, like, watching that scene is like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember getting the Blu-ray. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Oh, Fast 7, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we'll talk more of the story around that stuff probably when we're done kind of recapping it. But that's just one of those things, like, there's no way to avoid it. So you might as well embrace it, you know. But the awkwardness of the scene, they're doing the funeral for Han.
Yeah.
With a bunch of people Han couldn't have possibly known, and the fast guys, and Dom's giving his little speech, you know, like, he put you in the ground, I'm going to do the same to him, and all of a sudden, like, the other guys are in the background going, we can't do any more funerals, we got to find this guy, whatever, and you just see a car driving around the cemetery. It's a nice car. It's an abnormally nice car.
Yeah.
So Dom immediately goes, that looks like a fast car. It's probably the guy who's out to kill us all. I better chase him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're just in this room. Like,
walks out in the middle of the funeral.
Yeah, what was his plan when he went, if I just drive around, maybe Dom will jump in a car and chase me? Like, I don't look for I accept outlandish things in Furious movies. That's my whole argument for them.
Right.
This still felt out of place even for a Furious movie, you know? Fine. It's whatever. Got me to where I needed to be. Brought Kurt Russell into the movie.
Yeah.
Ultimately. But that's what happened. They go through this chase scene. Statham and Vin Diesel end up having a little bit of a face-off. Vin Diesel's about to get shot. And Kurt Russell shows up. Well, Jack Burton himself.
They totally... I just love... Because this is where all that over-the-top stuff comes in. Where a normal person would be dead in these circumstances. Because they play chicken with each other and neither one moves. And they just slam into each other head on. And then get out of the car and continue their battle.
Yeah. Well, Statham walks out like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel walks out like he's got headache.
Yeah.
You know, and looks at Statham's car and is like, you reinforced your chassis. That's dirty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like that's all you got to do.
You're right.
You can survive anything if you put a little extra metal into your metal. You know? But yeah, that's it. And then he pulls out a gun and goes, what, do you think this was going to be a street fight? And other machine guns start going off. Statham runs away in the most bizarre... He just runs down a hallway and up a staircase.
Vanishes. Like,
yeah, all these...
Bomb!
Yeah, all these Black Ops cars are pulling up with 20 guys with machine guns and no one follows him.
Wow.
You know? But again, whatever. We'll get to your description of Statham very soon here.
We'll get to my theory.
Yeah. And then, you know, Kurt Russell pops out and does his whole... I'm Kurt Russell, and as the movie-going audience, you probably haven't seen me in a decade, so get excited. And I do. I do get excited. I was more excited than when I saw him in the trailer, and that's rough, because I was excited when I saw him in the trailer.
Man, did he just fall immediately into the fast rhythm.
Yes!
He didn't come in, he didn't miss a beat, he didn't have a step. You weren't like, oh, hey, it's the computer who wears tennis shoes. You were like... Oh, hey, it's the new member of the team.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And then he spit out a bunch of, you know, one-liners.
I was going to say, he was a one-line
he
machine.
Spoke, yes! He spoke to Dom in one-liners.
Yeah.
Dom grunted back. I mean, it was like, It was like, they're right there.
I've read your file. I know your language.
Yeah.
Here's how you listen to me. You
have
know?
A Corona. Shut up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Here's your Corona. Yeah, you hear the sirens. He goes, well, I guess here they come, because I'm automatic going, hey, he's sort of the cops, he's like an authority figure, he's clearly military, I don't know, cops are coming, he's going to leave too, okay, military.
Yeah.
So, some sort of underground thing, you know,
yeah.
And he tells them, hey, I'm going to go have a beer. You should probably come with me. And you don't want to come with me, but I can give you the guy you're looking for, too.
Yeah.
You know? And so they go on to military base.
I've decided to believe it was a member of the Omega Sector.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, you should feel bad about that.
Apparently I do.
True Lies? Come on.
Oh, yeah. That just put... Now I have to go watch Furious 7 again, which I was going to anyway. But now I have to watch it with a whole new mindset. That's awesome. Wow. You think Schwarzenegger could ever be in a Furious movie?
I don't know why he isn't.
Yeah right?
That is the right
why hasn't he yet?
I mean, I'm glad they did. I don't know why they called Kurt Russell instead of him to play
his part. So, you know, and then, next they go to this installation. Kurt Russell's giving Vin Diesel the explanation of, you know, who Statham is, also why Kurt Russell is interested in Vin Diesel in the first place and his crew, and it's this whole convoluted Furyverse explanation of, we've got this stuff we want, but the military can't officially go after it, so we need other people to do it, and you guys are the best on the planet. And again, totally, that's the thing about the, like, remember, in 2001, a street racing movie came out, and that's literally all it was, Point Break and Cars.
Yeah.
And now the government is coming to these guys going, you're the best in the world at everything, and we need you to do that for us. And I buy it. I'm not fine with it, I'm excited about it.
Right.
It's brilliant, you know? But he tells them, you're the only guys who can get this computer program we need. This hacker got kidnapped by the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
We need you get her, or, well, to get the hacker. You don't know it's a her yet. Spoiler alert, it's a her. We need you to get the hacker back so they can get this thing back to us. And if you get this thing that can find anyone in minutes, we'll let you use it to find Statham.
It must be that thing that Batman used that
the one that Lucius Fox was so upset about.
Lucius got really mad about him using. It must be that thing.
It basically was more or less the same thing.
The idea was the same.
That's how Batman finds the Joker.
So, and that's when do the whole thing where Kurt Russell's going, you got to try this Belgian beer, it's amazing. And Vin Diesel's like, I'm more of a Corona guy. And so he just whips out a bucket of Corona, like, I've read your file.
I got this right here.
Yeah. That was the best thing, too. He goes, I read your file. It's both interesting and entertaining.
Reading the files, just watching the other movies.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
We're in now. Go back to then. When? You just missed it. But that scene though, like then they go to the scene, so then they already went and picked up his team. So everybody shows up.
Oh yeah,
that scene made me a little sad because like that was where you realize that we went from Kurt Russell gives him the ultimatum. You wanna do it or you wanna go and wait for him to show up with another armored car? And, Vin Diesel's like, well, I guess you know what I'm already thinking. And he was like, I thought you'd say that. And then four cars pull in with his best friends in them.
Yeah.
But, I think you seem upset about that
I'm not upset about that at all. I don't, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
It fits the movie, it makes sense. What I'm sad about is, because, his team shows up, and it's Ludacris, Tyrese, and Paul Walker. And, there's kind of a moment for me where I was like, gosh, two movies ago, the team was The Rock and Gina Carano and Ludacris, Tyrese and Han and that chick. And, there's 10 people and now there's 4.
Yeah, you do realize it's much smaller. And again, it's one of those things where the real life story haunts the scene. Because you go like, man, now you're down to 5. Except really it's sort of 4.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah,
Paul Walker. This is his last ride there.
Right. Now, I really liked the dynamics of having, eight people that were all playing a different role. And now you got to really start to consolidate certain things. So that's what made me a little sad about that scene. Not that they just all of a sudden showed up.
And I fully agree with that aspect of it. Now there's all they'll expand.
They'll
grow back because the movies really are at the base. They're about family, and they always have been. Right. And that's sort of why you attach to them. I think that's why they're so popular, is because that. Which again, we will get to at the end. The part of that scene that excited me on a different level the same, and I can almost pinpoint this as like the point where I knew how much I loved these movies. And it was in, I believe, 6. Which, granted, I loved these movies before then, but there's the point where it just kind of brings it all together, and it's at the beginning when things are starting to go haywire, but, you know, Brian's having a kid or just had a kid or whatever it was at the beginning of 6, and as things are going nuts and the team's getting back together, you just expect this movie moment where the wife comes in and goes, hey, you've done this stuff, but you've got to think about your family now, and I'm worried about you, and I'm not sure if you can do this. I don't want... Yeah, whatever. And Jordana Brewster comes in and goes, hey, you got to get this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dom needs you, and you're good. You got to go. And I went,
these guys are stronger together.
That's what these movies are. Yeah. You know, and that was sort of the... That was what this scene was in this movie.
Right.
It was the moment where the movie goes, we could slow down... We could waste everyone's time with them coming to grips with the fact that they got to do this, or we could just go, everybody knows what's coming, let's do it.
Right.
Yep. You know, and that's what they did.
Yep.
And so, Tyrese being Tyrese,
yeah.
Which is synonymous with awesome.
Yeah, well, that was a good scene. Kind
yeah.
of a good little, you know, that kind of made it like a good little scene, like thinking about Paul Walker not being there, because
yeah.
now you can totally... Even though they didn't, it wasn't like a direct interaction, you could totally see what the dichotomy between Tyrese and Vin Diesel will be.
Yes.
Would be. You
yeah.
know, if they choose to yeah. make those
yeah.
two the
what
focal
it can,
point.
What
which,
it can
yes.
be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What I loved about that scene is as Tyrese just starts talking, they bring the audience right back into, hey, we know what we are.
Because
what does Tyrese do? He recaps the most insane things they've done over the last like 3 movies, you know. And here's the funniest part about it, because the whole speech he gives is basically the army comes to him and says, hey, this hacker is on this mountain or whatever, and there's only one road to it for whatever reason, and that road's probably got guards, so you can't just drive up it, so what are we going to do? We got to figure out how to get there. And Tyrese goes, you know, hey, what happened? You guys wanted me to break into a police station in Rio? Fast 5. So I did it. And then what do you want to do next? You want me to fight a tank on the highway? Fast 6. So I did it. And then what happens? You want me to shoot out of the sky the biggest plane ever built? Also Fast 6. So I do it, you know? But this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And
yeah.
I'm watching that scene going, they just want you to be on a mountain.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you fought a tank on a highway. And the craziest thing anyone's ever asked you to do is be on a mountain.
Yeah.
You know? So, but what they do is they use Tyrese to go, these are all the bananas things we've done. Here comes some more bananas.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so he's the one who, quote unquote, comes up with a plan for the big thing you saw in the trailers.
Yeah.
And it's parachuting cars.
Yeah.
You know, and they kind of whip into that scene. And again, just a beautiful, when they do that whole bit, they very quickly transition to being on that plane.
Yeah.
And they kind of tell you the plan. You know, they do that thing where it's like, we got a plan. And then all of a sudden they're in that scene.
They're in
the
plane.
You're going to find out what the plan is.
Yeah.
And They're talking smack to each other over walkie-talkies in the cars. They get to where they're going. Everyone knows what's happening because we've all seen the trailers.
Right.
You know, the bay doors open, the cars start to back out, and they're just free-falling through the sky. And they do that whole bit again and I got to assume they meant to focus on Tyrese as much as they did in this movie.
Yeah.
I hope so, because like you said, what he could become to the franchise.
Yeah, that's so fun.
But, yeah. They all these planes are falling, and Tyrese is just sitting in the
can't do it.
He's on the walk.
Sorry,
he can't do it, guys. Sorry, I'm gonna hang out with the pilot.
Yeah,
we're gonna circle around
yeah. a couple times.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. And they're all yelling at him. They're even Michelle Rodriguez is going nuts.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever. And and Roman's going. I keep bouncing back and forth between the real name and the movie name, but that's
it.
Okay. The movie's pride. Can we do that? Roman's going,
yeah.
I'm sorry, guys, I'm sorry. And Ludacris goes, no, I'm sorry. And uses a little remote, which is funny, too, because was it Vin or Brian? One of those guys was, like, talking to Tej, like, hey, hey, we got to do something. He's like, yeah, I know, I'm on it.
Yeah.
So he
yeah.
just gets his little remote control thing out, and he blows a parachute on the back of Tyrese's car and just sucks him out.
It was amazing, dude. Just,
and then,
like, because he was trying to stop it, too. Right? Like, he was hitting the gas, hitting the brakes, and it was, yeah. like, going.
He was hitting the brakes as yeah. he was falling.
Yeah.
He was yelling at Ludacris. But here's the best part, in my opinion. They, you know, they blow their chutes. They're all gliding down. They get to the point where they're hitting their releases and just hitting the highway going. And what happens? Still, when they get to the bottom, Tyrese, who they had to have for the mission,
yeah.
is just sort of floating around.
Yeah. Right?
And they audibly go, hey, we'll catch up with you later.
Yeah, we'll come yeah. back for you.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh, you know, but then you get your first real big car action sequence, which was... just fun, yeah. And I can't, I won't even, I mean, we'll take 3 hours if we go over step by step, but they do cool stuff with guns and cars. They yeah. do cool stuff with jumping to and from cars. They do cool stuff with driving cars off of mountains. They're just doing cool stuff yeah. with cars. And again, every time I watch these, like the first time I watch these action sequences, I've grown into the habit of just going, these movies were about 10-second races.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now here we are. You yeah. know? But they are so good at highlighting everyone in the group. Mm-hmm. You know what happens? Tej, Ludacris, the tech guy, sort of runs point and kind of knows everything that's going on. So when the guns start blazing out, he's the guy with the bulletproof car. So everybody gets in formation behind him, and, yeah. and they use their cars to push his car to ram everybody off the road, you know? Now, they yank the bus apart that this hacker's in, and what do they do? Brian, you're up. Now it's Paul Walker's turn to step out of his moving car onto his hood while his car's still moving in the same direction because it's being pushed by another car, and he leaps from that car into a bus that just had the back torn off of it,
yeah.
and he just starts laying dudes out,
yeah.
one of which was Tony Jaa.
Yeah.
You know, which was awesome, too. But, that, you know, like... again, I don't want to go like step by step through the whole yeah. scene, but that's what they do. What do these movies do? They bring all these guys together, and then they equally highlight every
just,
one of them.
It they is just go for it,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, much like an Avengers movie,
right?
You know, they've all got their scenes. They've all got, and that's what these movies are. These movies are every 1 to 2 years you get a non superhero event. I almost said real life Avengers, but that would be the wrong way to say it. But you get a non superhero Avengers team yeah. up. You know, so they go through that whole thing. Which was just fun, and it ends
well,
with...
And then Statham shows back up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Got to bring up.
Right, yeah.
He's somewhere.
Somehow, Statham got up on this mountain.
When are you going to bring up this point?
Well,
are you going to wait?
Yeah, I kind of feel okay. like it's more accurate at the party, so...
Okay. We'll wait for the party. Yeah. So Statham,
shows
yeah,
up.
Shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
On this mountaintop that road.
They had parachute into
yeah.
it. They
yeah.
had a parachute to
yep.
get there.
Yep.
Statham just drives on
yep.
up.
Yep.
And
here he is.
So yep. guys,
just bust out. Of, like, he was just chilling in some trees.
Yeah.
And they just drove out there.
He rolls in and sideswipes him with a smile on his face.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
What's up, guys? I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Well, which is funny
the
too.
The other thing too is, Kurt Russell totally sees him coming. Totally just doesn't say anything to anybody. He's just like, yeah. oh, look who's here.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
go back, like
well,
they
no.
cut, they cut to the command
no.
center just to show him go, oh,
that,
hey,
no.
look who's
that's
joining
not
the party.
That's not exactly right, though, because he's excited.
Yeah.
He's yeah. excited.
Like, he wants to see what's about to happen, just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
You
like,
know?
Like, because remember, they're trying to get this tech so they can locate Statham.
Yeah.
Then Statham's just there.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
didn't they just abandon the mission and start trying to fight Statham?
Yeah. Well, the government wanted it so they could find literally everyone
yeah.
starting with Statham.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
but yeah, but you're exactly right. Yeah. They're like, we wanna help the government so we can find this guy. There he is.
There he is, he's here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what though, this scene here is where I started to like wonder how Paul Walker was going to be handled in the movie, because I didn't know exactly how much of the film he had done or whatever, or at what point he was just going to go away.
Yeah.
So there's that whole scene with the bus where it's like going off the cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember like specifically we're sitting there watching and like Christina's like starting to like do this thing where she's looking over at me at the screen, like she's anticipating this might be the end of Paul Walker kind of thing. And that it happens a couple times in the movie.
Oh yeah,
you just don't know what's gonna happen with Paul Walker. Yeah. And this was the first scene that made me feel that way. Yeah, you know, I was just like, oh man.
Well,
that whole
bus hanging scene. First of all, I'll point out. That was straight out of one of the Uncharted games. I think even the first one.
Totally, that was just like one of the Uncharted games.
Like it starts with
that was the first
Nathan Drake hanging over. He's in a train car, and he wakes up and he wanders around and he realizes the train car he's in.
I think that's the second.
I was
going to
say, I played the first one.
I think that's the second.
So maybe it's the second one.
I think that's the second.
But he finds out he's in this train car and it's hanging over the edge, so it starts to fall, and he basically like falls with it, comes out the back. Crawls up the top until he gets to the point where it's on, and then he does the exact same thing, runs up as it's falling and leaps himself on.
It's a super fun level to play.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you have to like leap, like grab the ladders and like climb around. And
all that
stuff. That's totally just like that.
Absolutely. That's what I was watching that going, that's exactly what. And again, not a complaint. Cool. I saw something awesome one time, and now I want to put it in a movie, and I want it to be with Paul Walker. Okay. Whatever. But that's all when I first saw that scene, even in the previews, I was like, that kind of looks like the Uncharted thing, you know? And then it turned out to be exactly that. So, but how cool was that scene?
Yeah,
that
was awesome. It was really good.
Well, how amazing was it? And just, they just get it. Because he runs up, you know, he's about to die, the bus is falling over, he crawls out the bottom, climbs up the front, runs across the top as it's falling, jumps, grabs the spoiler of a car.
And she's like, she does the drifting thing.
Yeah, that is spinning in a way a car cannot
spin. Let me just drift at the right time so you can grab the spoiler of my car.
Grabs that, is thrown from that, rolls, you know, 20 feet through the rubble, and is laying there, thankful that he's alive. And Michelle Rodriguez jumps out of the car and goes, "You good, dude?"
Yeah. And he gets up happy because he is good.
Yes.
And he jumps into the car and they drive away.
It's awesome. It's like when you watch this movie and like stuff like that's happening, you hear the audience laughing at it. But like
laughing with it.
Laughing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Laughing with it. They're not laughing like because they know.
Yeah.
And they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's why they're there.
There has never been a franchise in existence that has been this in tune with the audience and vice versa. Yeah. That's all there is to it. Everyone knows what these movies are because these movies know what these movies are.
Right.
You know, and they don't try to hide it or flaunt
it
or disguise it. They just are, and it's great. Yeah. So. Well, and now we find out that this nerdy hacker they're trying to find is this super hot.
Super hot.
Super hot.
Because why not?
Yeah, exactly. You know, because what? Because they needed to balance out the ratio, I guess. They dropped a super hot chick in the last movie, so they needed an even more super hot chick.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's gone. She's got to go be Wonder Woman somewhere.
All right, we can argue the merits of how pretty she is. She's not this chick. She's an attractive lady.
They replaced Gal Gadot with a beautiful woman, basically.
Yeah.
They had to put her in there so Ludacris and Tyrese could both decide who's going to get her.
Exactly. Well, those scenes. There are a couple of them. Yeah. One of them comes pretty quick here because then when they, you know,
they had to show the obligatory nerdy chick coming out of the water in the sexy bikini.
Now we're skipping a part.
Okay.
Because first they do a brilliant scene, I think, where all this mayhem's happened. Vin Diesel ends up driving off a cliff with this chick.
Yeah.
That's how they get to the bottom of the mountain safely. Whatever. You know?
I love talking all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Because it just like really highlights how absurd all is.
Yeah. So they're all together and they're all safe somewhere and the chick's out. Yeah. And she wakes up.
They're safe somehow.
And it was kind of funny too. Like this almost felt too realistic to happen in a Fast movie. But the first thing she wakes up and Paul Walker runs up to her and is like, symptoms, or you can you hear okay? Like he's checking her for concussion protocol.
Concussion symptoms.
And I'm like, shouldn't she just be okay? Everyone else is.
She's not one of them.
Yeah, well, not yet, I guess. So, but then they do that scene where she basically wakes up and just starts telling them things. Which again, you go, it's a Fast movie. It's all I want.
Well, she says, I trust you.
Well, exactly, because one of them goes, why would you tell us this? You know, and she goes, there's only
two things that would keep a group like you guys together, and it's either fear or loyalty. And I don't see any fear in any of you.
Yep.
So again, it's just highlighting that whole family thing. And this is that weird dichotomy, because you don't know how hard they're pushing this because of the Paul Walker thing, and how hard they're pushing this because that's sort of what the movies are, but there are scenes where I'm not sure which way they go. This is one of those where I go, this is what these movies are.
Right.
You know, I don't think this was inspired by any, I don't think they changed a thing. I think just how it happens. But she pegs each one of them step by step. You know,
yeah.
She's like, Paul Walker jumped onto a bus, took a bunch of guys out. Definitely military or police something. You know, Vin Diesel, you're clearly the alpha because, holy crap, you're Vin Diesel. You know, Ludacris, you're the tech guy. You got offended by something. Tyrese, you're the Joker because... Yeah. That's what you are. You
and
know?
He jumps up and tells her he's a double alpha.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. No, double alpha.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, there can't be two alphas in one group.
Might have been my favorite line in the movie.
Yeah, but she just pegs everybody and then flat out says, you know, you guys are clearly the real deal, so I'll help you out. And again, it's absurd, but it's Fast and Furious. It's awesome. You know, and then they go to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And then she comes out of the river that she's, or the whatever she's in, the body of water, yes. And Tyrese and and Ludacris start arguing over her.
Yeah.
Calling dibs.
Yeah, calling you know? Dibs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you find out, you know, her friend who she shipped the God's Eye is what they call the tracking device.
Yeah.
She shipped it to this guy to be safe, and this guy sold it to some sheik, some prince, whatever he was, in a... different computer to like it was in a different computer device, and then it was something to make his car faster or whatever, like a speed
boost.
Well,
she had hidden it in his car.
Yeah,
yeah.
She had hidden it, so she had shipped him that car.
Yeah.
That
no. She shipped him like the speed boost device or whatever, and he sold that to the sheik who put it in his car. It was just that computer part.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So they find out. Well, now we got to break into this sheik's party.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
and that's when they do the, it's like, you know, hey guy, we don't know, can you get us into this exclusive party?
Like,
this guy's a mechanic in Abu Dhabi, I don't know how he gets to, you know, but he does it.
Well,
he's
yeah,
like,
obviously.
Yeah, but not dressed like that.
Yep.
So then you do the, everybody's in a suit, tux, dress, you know, thing, which was
right.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah,
it was just fun to see. And they make fun of each other for being in those clothes, you know, or at least Dom and Letty do, you know,
yep.
That kind of thing. So they go through. You get introduced to Ronda Rousey, who's like the big guest star of the movie, the Gina Carino
she
role
really
or
just
whatever.
Was.
Yeah.
Totally, it was just a cameo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But it was fun. It was cool. You got to see Michelle Rodriguez tear up. You know, they go into this party, and again, they each play to their strengths. Ludacris runs and tries to do some computer stuff.
He also karate's a guy, which Tej could not do before, but
Tej had not done before.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, let's be
Come
specific.
Come on, in Fast 2, in Too Fast, Too Furious, he could not do that.
His hair was in the way.
Yeah, he had
his hair was very big in that movie.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But that's what, you know.
But that's what these movies are.
Exactly.
Not judging, just coming out.
Dom and Brian have to go get the car, which is this, you find out it's in this super, like this multi-million dollar, there's only seven in the world.
Right.
And they do this whole fun thing, they go and find the car, and you know, Brian and Dom are both their car guys, so they're going, this is like caging a wild animal,
and
I really want to fight this guy now.
Like, yeah, they're like,
there's
only seven in the world, he just keeps it locked up in a skyscraper.
Yeah, because remember, this car is in a skyscraper.
Yeah.
It's in like the penthouse of this gigantic lair.
Yeah, like locked up.
Yeah. So, of course, they ruin the party.
Vin Diesel picks up the car.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Picks it up so that Brian can get out of it.
You know, what's funny is I saw this movie the third time I saw this movie. I was with my nephew, who's a little bit of a car kid, and he was going, you know, he's like, it's a little bit ridiculous, except the engines on stuff like that are in the back, and they're made from such and such. He's like, that, you know, looking at Vin Diesel, that might not even be absurd, you know, which I don't know how right he is.
Looking at Dom, if you looked at Vin Diesel in real life, he's like 4'6".
So. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he's still built like a thing I can't say on the air. But regardless, they pick up the car. They do a little witty thing too. That was fun, where he picks up the car and he's just holding it, and Paul Walker's sitting to the outside. Go, you got this.
You good?
And Diesel's like, hurry up.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get this thing out. Well, Michelle Rodriguez gets found out by Ronda Rousey. Their fight ensues. Security gets alerted. All the gates start going down. They decide, well, we just got to take the car.
They drive the car through a wall.
Hold on. They also we forgot about Tyrese distracting
him. Oh yeah. That was his thing. Everybody's doing their thing. You know, Brian and Dom are going to get the car. Tej is doing the tech thing. Letty's breaking in to give them access to something, right. And then fighting Ronda Rousey.
Tyrese is singing Happy Birthday.
Yeah, Ludacris flat out says, "You know what is Roman going to do? He's going to shine brightly like only Roman can do." And that's what Tyrese picks up a microphone and just becomes just the goes, party. And okay. Yeah,
he's like, "Hey, it's your birthday."
Call her Jasmine.
Yay, Jasmine!
Are you Jasmine?
Yeah.
Because of Aladdin, you get
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And then just started singing Happy Birthday. Yeah,
right.
Well, I love how like nobody in the place even like bought it. Like the whole place is seriously just like.
Yeah.
You remember when he randomly pulled that other girl out of the crowd?
Yeah.
It was like, some of you might have been to the bathroom, noticed all the hairspray was gone. Yep, she did it.
So, ridiculous.
But and it was during this that security runs up to Ludacris and Ludacris ninjas him for no reason and Super Hot Chick is impressed and whatever else. But you know, again, we go back to Vin Diesel going, "All right, we're just gonna take the car." And him and Brian jump into it and they drive through the one wall that isn't security locked yet, and they're just in the middle of the party in this super expensive car in this floor full of people. Jaren, what happens next?
Okay, at this point, the elevator door opens, and Jason Statham walks into the party with a machine gun.
Why wouldn't he?
Okay. So this is where, and this is the point where I developed my theory that Jason Statham is a horror movie villain in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, this was the fast verse attempt at doing a horror movie.
Okay. Or at least just putting Michael Myers into their movie.
Right. You know, Michael Myers
with one-liners.
Yeah, or Jason
Voorhees.
That's
what Statham was.
Well, he didn't even talk after. I mean, he had some one-liners, but like in most of these appearances, he didn't even talk. So he just walks in and starts shooting people, you know, because I mean, there's no way he could know where to come, where they were.
You're right.
You know, he just shows up ready to wreck everybody's day.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he did. That's what he did on the mountaintop. That's what he did in the. You know, he just appeared.
At the funeral.
He just it's what he did at the funeral. Yeah. It's what he did in the Rock's office. Like he just appeared.
Yeah,
and tried to kill everybody.
Yep. And what happens? The heroes put him down time and time again.
Yeah.
And he just gets back up.
Yep.
And
he disappears.
Yeah.
He disappears. Yeah.
And reappears at will. Yep. Yeah, you said that to me, and my brain almost fell out of my head. That is exactly what that is. That is the Furyverse version of your standard horror movie villain. He can't be put down. He can't be stopped. He can be.
He always shows up when you don't want him to.
Yeah.
You know, and he's right there. Like, he's right there waiting at all times.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. And so, what, you know. Now, despite the fact that they're in a bulletproof car.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They're in a bulletproof car, which they've stated that it's a bulletproof car. Yep. So Jason Statham starts shooting grenades at them. So they still feel like they need to get away. So what do they do? Vin Diesel decides he's just going to hit the gas and give us another trailer moment.
Cars don't fly.
Nope. Cars don't fly. Boom! Right out the glass. Yeah, now this is this like triple. Like I was going to say, twin towers, like a triple tower.
Yeah, there's three
Abu Dhabi
right
thing.
Each other.
Yeah, right next to each other. So he flies out of one. This guy to grab, like he flew out of the building. Jason Statham shoots him with a grenade in midair, which does nothing except for angle him slightly more downward.
Right.
Yeah. And then they just blow into the next building and they crash right through it. And it's a floor that's under construction. They shoot right by a guy with one of those floor Zambonis who is obviously surprised. Decide it's a good time to probably stop. Now, bear in mind, this car is driving 120 miles an hour. It should have gone wall to wall in probably a second.
Yeah.
But it's a, you know, it just that is going back to the original movies where the 10-second races take 2 minutes because you got to make them watchable, you know?
Yeah.
So they're flying through this floor, destroying things. Vin Diesel's hitting the brakes, which just don't work anymore.
Yeah,
maybe that's what the grenade did?
Yeah,
there's no brakes.
I had to assume that that's what the grenade did because he totally drove through that wall and stopped and drove a couple circles and stopped before he decided to drive out the window
and not be able to stop
anymore.
Yeah,
and the whole time Paul Walker's sitting there in the passenger seat trying to rip open the dashboard to find this, you know, computer thing.
And so he's trying to stop. He's trying to stop. It's not stopping. They get near another window. He just gasses it again. And Paul Walker goes right back into,
He goes right back into what I like to think of as Martin Lawrence mode.
Yes. Yep. That, again, perfect. Well done. Bust through another window. Fly through another open space. This time, sans grenade.
Yep.
Burst into another building, which happens to be overflowing with people this time. Yes, like, guys jumping out of the way of the window, driving through statues. It's like
there's some sort of art thing going on.
Well, and it totally looks like those statues that, like, those Chinese statues. Yes. There's, like, a whole army of them, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And they're all individual. Totally drives right through
just
those.
Smashes them all.
Never hitting anybody. Everybody's getting out of the way. But, Paul Walker starts going nuts trying to find this thing, breaks it open, pulls it out. He's like, hey, I got it. So all of a sudden they're like, all right, well, I guess we'll just pop these doors open. They're driving through stuff so the doors get ripped off immediately. Right. And they both jump out of this moving car. And it flies out of the window. Vin Diesel rolls up to the window and just sort of watches it fall.
Dude, yeah, stops like right at the edge to give you that moment of like, oh, he's going to fall over.
And they have that thing, and he stops and he does that thing where he looks at Paul Walker. He's like, you still miss the bullets, you know, which is like kind of that line from the beginning. Now, then they stand up, this is off camera, but apparently they stand up and casually just walk out of this building.
Like that,
along with their friends who Jason Statham let live. And they all casually walk out of the other building, and they meet up again. But now they've got the thing.
Yep, they've got the thing.
Yep, and so they've got the thing, and they take it back to Kurt Russell. And they almost built that scene like it was the big Kurt Russell double cross.
Yeah,
like totally. There's this tension. There's Kurt Russell's army guys who have these weird looks on their face. He's like, oh, thanks for finding this thing for me. You guys did exactly what we expected you to. You're waiting for it to come. And then what Kurt Russell delivers is, here's the thing, like we said.
Yep.
Let's go get him. I thought it was going to come across.
Yep.
So
now we can find Jason Statham, even though he's been everywhere we've been.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need to find him, but we can. So they find him. They say where he is. Dom goes, all right, dawn's in 2 hours. Let's go get him. Everybody apparently just goes to sleep, and Dom goes to Kurt Russell's like, we're going now.
Yeah.
You know, my team are the best drivers in the world, but they ain't killers.
Yep. And O'Connor appears out of the shadows with a machine gun.
Yeah. Going, I've killed a bunch of people in these movies. I'm going too.
Right.
You know? And so they go, and then they get there. Statham does some more one-liners because he's just sitting there eating meat and potatoes, waiting for him.
Oh yeah, that's right. He's like in the warehouse or wherever he's.
Yep,
staying.
They show up. They highlight family again because Statham gives Dom the my enemy of my enemy is my friend. And Dom one-liners back. I don't got friends. I got family.
Yeah.
And Statham re-ups the one-liner back, going, well, I got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And then the world explodes. Yeah. All of the Digimon Houston's guys, the guy they stole the hacker and the God's Eye from, he comes in with all his guys, starts shooting up all of Kurt Russell's guy. Kurt Russell goes full on
super spy mode.
Yeah, super spy.
You know, you totally expected the double cross. You watch the whole movie, you're like, okay, well, here's the double cross scene. And they glaze over that, and they get to this, and they're like, okay, well, here's where we find out he's just an old weenie, you know, when he loses his mind because there's bullets flying.
Yeah. But he's even got the face for it. He's like, he's watching his guys go down, and he looks so sad.
Yep.
And then he remembers he has sunglasses.
Right, then he throws on his sunglasses, which are night vision sunglasses.
Yeah.
And he pulls out two guns and starts capping dudes.
Yeah. Like, and not even that, like, he's hiding.
Yeah.
People are dying. He sees his like right hand guy in particular die, and he looks so sad, like he's done.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden he pops him on, and then he doesn't just like start like cat, like he pulls two guns out and just casually walks around shooting people.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he got a vantage point or anything else, or was like kicking over stuff or hiding or anymore or not. He just puts those sunglasses on and just walks out into an open field of gunfire and just starts picking people off. Until he gets shot twice. And then they do the thing right there, and that was awesome. Because he kept doing this wink thing to Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
And he gets shot, and he's like, oh, no. And Vin Diesel looks at him. And again, this is where it's like, oh, apparently he's family, too.
Yeah.
You know, because Vin Diesel's looking at him like, no.
Right.
And then he gives him that wink. And you're like, oh, he's got a plan. Then he just gets shot again.
Totally what happens.
So they run out of there. They grab Kurt Russell. They take him away. And Kurt Russell basically gives him the same speech The Rock gave him. Like, you know, well, go get him.
This was totally the scene, I have to say, where I was waiting for Paul Walker to bite it.
Yeah.
This was, because I didn't get that at the bus part. But like when in this scene, they're shooting, it's dark. They start throwing grenades around. I was like, "Wow, this would be a really easy scene to kill Paul Walker off screen, and then really up the ante for the I almost called it the go home.
Yeah, the go
home. Really up the ante for the go home.
What it is
for sure. That's what
if there's a movie out, if there's a movie series out there that's wrestling matches, it's this one.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I felt. Yeah,
but that's what you know. They run out of there. They pull Kurt. They leave all his guys to die, but they pull Kurt Russell.
Well, there's only it's cool. There's only like six of them, and they got die.
That was the coolest part when they first got there. They get there with this military barrage of guys, plus Paul Walker, plus Vin Diesel, plus Kurt Russell, and Jason Statham looks up and goes, "Is it? Yeah. This is all I warrant?
Yeah,
you know, like that was literally his line. Awesome." They get them out of there and they're running and they're doing their one line speeches back and forth, whatever. Kurt Russell's like, I know you don't want to hear this, but you got to listen to me. You really need to try that Belgian ale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you find out he had some sort of weird looking vest on, but he still took a bullet they're like, get you to hospital. He's like, I'll bring a hospital to me. So he puts a call in on his phone. The medvacs come. You know, the helicopters are coming to get him. They just leave Kurt Russell because he tells
on the side of the road in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Well, the helicopters.
The helicopter's already coming.
And he tells him, you got to drop me. And Vin Diesel goes, I'm not going to leave you. And he goes, no, I'm going to leave you. You know, they're here. It's fine. So that's when they decide, okay, if a war's coming, I think is the word they use, then we're going to bring it to the streets we know. And that's when they decided, we're going back to L.A.
So poof, they appear back in L.A.
Yep. Poof.
Yep.
Just like that.
Magic. Yep.
They all like, you know, they got on orbits and they booked flights and they went,
again, their plane. For all the suspension of disbelief I've already put into this franchise, how they get back to L.A. is not going to be the thing that breaks me, you know? But they're back in L.A. and they're going through it. And they go through their weird movie hacker dialogue, which I don't know much about computers and hacking. I'm pretty sure this isn't how it works.
Yeah.
But they go, okay, we can hack the hacking device. But in order to do that, we got to hack the satellite thing. And then we got to get them near the satellite thing within a very small range of it.
I mean,
we can hack them. And in order to do that, we have to drive around like maniacs. And jump car to car.
That sounds great
like,
to me.
Yes, yeah, that is exactly the plan. That's except for Roman going, except y'all are crazy, right. But I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Double alpha.
Yep. But that's basically, and then they do their setup, which was gorgeous because it's Walker throwing the vest on, getting the gear. It's cutting back and forth between that and Diesel going to his old house exploded, but the garage car is still there, and it's fine. Yep.
The car that's been smashed in
a thousand times.
Four of the car.
Yeah.
And then
it's even cutting Statham in, getting all his guns ready and everything. It was so cool.
And, but also, like, Paul Walker, like, called his wife before this scene here, and this was a very haunting phone call.
Well, and I don't know. We'll go ahead and talk about that scene here because I don't know if you, my wife read this and then told me about it like afterwards. Because the scene is an intercut. You know, at the beginning of the movie, she was basically put into protection with his kid and never told him about the second kid. Here's where he goes, hey, something's going to happen. If you don't see me, you just need to go. Get away where they can't find you. Which is funny because she's already at the safest place she'll ever find. But whatever. And she's like, no, don't talk like that. You're going to go help my brother. You guys are going to win this. And then you're going to come home. And we've got another baby coming. That's the reveal to him. And this is how it's going to be. And, you know, he gets excited. They reminisce about the first movie again and those terrible sandwiches. Just very touching.
Yeah.
And they kind of get to the end of this phone call, and he tells her, you know, hey, I love you. And she goes, no, you know, do not, you know, like that sounded like goodbye. Do not do that. And so he basically goes, okay, well, you know, kiss Jack for me. And she's like, I will. And then they both hang up, and they tell each other off the phone, you know, I love you.
to each other and they kind of say it. And it was super haunting for
For sure.
And then the thing that really will just tear the heart right out of your chest is my wife was telling me, she read that he had obviously filmed his scene beforehand. Like, that wasn't a CGI Paul Walker. He had done that. She had not filmed her part before he died. Yikes. She had to go in afterwards. And, you know, and if you guys have seen the movie, which if you haven't, shame on you.
Yep.
if you can go back and think of that scene and think of Jordana Brewster having to go in there and pretend to pick up that phone and pretend to talk to Paul Walker and to say those things to him, it is
that's creepy. Rough.
Now, that is also another scene I will say, if you watch that conversation, that is not the conversation they wrote.
Right.
That was cut.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I don't know exactly what it was supposed to go, but you can tell those things were pieced together. Like, she was not supposed to tell him, like, I love you, Mia, was probably the end of the conversation. She was not supposed to follow with, don't say that, I don't want this to be goodbye. And he was not supposed to end it with this random, okay, kiss Jack for me. You know, like, stuff like that. Like, it worked fine. It worked beautifully.
Yeah.
It was very touching and haunting and any other word you can describe, but it's something that definitely they had to change,
right?
To kind of fit it in, and that's again, when we recap, we'll talk about that a little bit. But that's one of the beautiful things about this movie is trying to watch it and figure out what was supposed to be here,
mm-hmm.
and what did they have to kind of alter. And I'm sure I've tricked myself into 10 scenes going, this is different, and I'm probably right on 2 of them. But this one, I would bet everything on.
Right.
This was different. So. Then the big action finale comes.
The big action finale.
Which is probably 20 minutes.
Oh, wait, because The Rock catches wind of all
this. Not yet. No. The action finale is well in before The Rock catches wind.
Okay,
because these guys, they basically start going. The helicopter shows up. Like, they're waiting for someone to catch on to them. And Diesel, the plan is Brian and Tej and Roman are in one car, Brian's in another, Letty's in another. They are going to drive around, and however they're going to do it, they're going to basically be playing hot potato with
the hacker.
I can't remember her name now. Ramsey, you know. And so they're waiting for a car to find them and start chasing them. And they've got to keep her active and within this grid so that she can hack the system. Vin Diesel just goes, I'll take care of Statham, you know, Shaw or whatever.
Yeah,
and magically those two run into each other at a stoplight because... Statham is wherever he feels like being in these movies, just like you said.
Yeah.
You know, so they're doing this thing, and basically, like, they're, you know, they the bad guys show up, they get on the tail of a couple of the good guys, and they're like, you know, is there a car following you? And I think it was it Roman or was it Ludacris?
It was
Tej. Tej.
How many,
like,
of them?
Yeah, it's like, you know,
they're here. How many of them?
Yeah. Well, because he's like, how many cars? He's like,
no cars. Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's this big helicopter chasing them.
Yeah.
So they're trying to keep away from that. The helicopter releases a drone, because I guess those have those. That chases
those
them around. They're shooting guns and missiles. But they do all these really fun things. Their plan that they magically just know.
Yeah.
Again, when you say it out loud, it's ridiculous. They're running from this drone, and Paul Walker's plan is he'll drive as fast as he can at Roman. They will both spin their cars out next to each other, so close that Ramsey can jump out of one and into the other in the middle of the street, and the drone won't know what happened.
Right.
Which is funny, too, because as soon as that happens, Brian immediately jumps out of his car, and then it explodes.
Yep.
You know? But they're kind of doing that thing while Diesel is... running around with Statham, and the whole thing that cuts back and forth so quick. I don't remember the exact order of everything that happens. I do remember the initial Statham and Diesel play another game of chicken, which happens much earlier in that scene than I first realized.
Yeah,
because they go right to that. They get just like in the beginning when they were facing off against each other and they were about to head. They kick their cars into gear, and then when they get close, Diesel does that thing, which, again, he's done in 5 of the 7 movies, and I just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
You know, but he kicks his boosters up, and he kicks the front end of that car straight into the air.
So
when they collide, he just collides on top of Statham, pulls out his sawed-off, and just starts blowing.
Yeah. Literally. Sawed-off.
Yeah.
Just starts blowing shotgun blasts through the floorboard right at Jason Statham, who casually moves.
Yeah,
his steering wheel explodes, and then he pulls his own gun out, and they're just shooting back and forth. It is awesome. And then, like, they don't even leap out of their cars at that point.
Then Vin Diesel backs up off of his car. Then they both get out and kind of do the face-off. And then this time it becomes a street fight.
Yeah.
Now, around here, shortly after they did the switch with Ramsey and O'Connor's car exploded, that's when the helicopter movie magically pinpoints the tower that they're getting hacked from and blows it to smithereens. And so then all of a sudden they're at 97% on their hack because that's how hacking works.
Right.
And it stops.
Yep.
And so Tej is like, well, but if you find this other tower and activate it, we'll do it. Now, as this tower is exploding, The Rock is watching this all happen on TV. He's watching Brian's car explode.
From his hospital.
From his hospital bed with his big cast that he's laid up in. He looks out the window, and that's when he notices explosions across the city happening. Yeah. Stands up, his daughter's in the room with him, and just goes, "Daddy's got to go to work," and flexes that cast off.
That was
straight out of the trailer, but it was amazing.
There's another scene where the whole theater started laughing,
yes.
Get him, Rock.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly.
Like, and then he pops some pills, too.
Yes.
He's like, pops some pills,
They go through his mind. Like, he's broken the cast off. He goes, "Daddy's got to go to work." And they go through the same setup montage that O'Connor and Diesel and Statham all had. Except it's just him, and he's putting on his vest and his boots, which all of these were in the hospital with him.
Yep.
His giant gun you had already seen in the hospital with him. He's holstering that. And then, he pours a few pills out, pops them, takes a drink of water, and this is all cut into the montage. Like, this is his prep. It is hilarious, you know?
That's for his broken arm.
And then he just tells his daughter to be cool and leaves, you know?
Yep.
And so they tell Brian he's gotta go and find this tower and connect something to it, and that's how he'll... They'll get the hack back going.
Reinitiate the hack.
Yeah. So now you've got Roman and Tej in the same car with Ramsey, and they're running away from the drone. Letty is running around waiting for instructions on how to basically take the hot potato. O'Connor's running to this random building, except they've got the bad guys have the God's eye, so they hear this conversation and know where he's going and go to stop. And that's when him and Tony Jaa square off again, like they did on the street
in the bus
earlier. Yeah. You know. All this is happening while Vin Diesel and Jason Statham are throwing wrenches at each other.
Yeah. Wrenches and piece of Statham's car.
Mayhem, and it is awesome. O'Connor runs in, takes out a bunch of army guys, gets his one-on-one with Tony Jaa again, which was shorter than I expected, but still, it was a really cool action scene. They do this like sliding down a staircase thing on a door.
Oh yeah,
the way he wipes out Tony Jaa was like was really cool, and then he got to throw out a one-liner in retribution for the one Tony Jaa gave him earlier. You know, too slow. It was super fun. Letty gets the hacker. They switch under a bridge. They trick the bad guys for about a half a second, you know, and then the drone gets right back on Letty. They're driving through this tunnel trying to get away from the drone. The drone comes in after them. There's no way they can escape this thing. They're heading to the end of the tunnel. They don't know what to do. The hacker's even going, you know, well, who's going to show up to help next? And she's like, we're it. This is all that's left. All the other cars have blown up.
Yeah.
They blow through the outside of this tunnel. The drone's right behind him. All of a sudden, we flash up to The Rock driving an ambulance for whatever reason.
A giant ambulance.
Yeah, a huge, like a tank ambulance. Right. You know, going, drives off whatever bridge, road, whatever it was that was above this tunnel and just collides with the drone on the way into the ground.
Yeah.
Kicks his way out of the windshield of this thing. You know, Ramsey's looking at him going, who is that? And Michelle Rodriguez is going... You know, he's the backup or whatever.
Right.
And he gets out of the car and he looks around and she goes, and granted, they're 100 feet away from each other. They can't hear each other. But in the Furyverse, they can.
Yeah. Right.
She goes, you know, where's the cavalry? And he goes, woman, I am the damn cavalry.
Woman. I love that.
Picks up the Gatling gun from off the drone.
Turns into Roadblock, dude.
And just walks away.
Yeah.
Just scampers. Just... out, you know.
I got this.
Go back to a lot of Vin Diesel. I love too. O'Connor took care of Tony Jaa, ran upstairs, and just had to plug something into his phone.
Yep.
And then the hack was back on, you know.
Picked right up where it left off.
Yep. They go back to Diesel. That fight's going on. Diesel ends up winning. It was kind of like... Basically, the helicopter shows up and starts shooting at both of them.
Well, once the God's Eye is hacked...
Yeah.
They decide they're just going to go shoot everybody.
Yeah. Well, yeah. they really want to take it out on Dom now, and Statham's with him, and it's a kind of again going back to the whole here's why these guys always win because of the family thing, right. Because Statham had talked about having friends because he was friends with the other guys who hated Vin Diesel and the crew. And the other guys who hated Vin Diesel and the crew show up, and Statham's fighting Vin Diesel, and they go, well, I guess we're not friends anymore, and they just start trying to kill everybody. In the meantime, they do massive structural damage to one small part of this parking garage so that Vin Diesel can kick the ground, ground can swallow Jason Statham.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Awesome. Then the helicopter keeps trying to shoot Vin Diesel, so that's when the Rock, who minutes before randomly walked away from this huge accident scene and then just shows up. He totally Jack Bauer's LA.
Yeah.
But without the helicopter this time.
Yep.
And it just is anywhere he needs to be in the middle of LA and just starts Gatling gunning this helicopter from the street.
This is awesome.
Vin Diesel notices that the giant hole he just made for Jason Statham is actually a ramp. That happens to be pointing right at the helicopter,
right.
You know. But even he's got to drive his car down several floors while other helicopters have shown up. Or it was the same one, actually.
The same one is
trying to blow him up.
Yeah.
Ends up hitting the spot where he hits that ramp. It's Statham's car, too, I think. Or no, he grabbed
he's
the bag.
He grabbed the bag
out of Statham's car, which was full of grenades.
Because
Statham's an explosives guy.
Yep.
Flies up at this helicopter. They did this whole thing where they were talking about Statham throughout the movie when The Rock was telling him, you know, hey, these 20 guys went after him, but they missed. So when you do it, don't miss. So he drives his car at the helicopter. The helicopter swerves out of the way. I'm pretty sure Digimon Houston even went, hey, he missed. You know?
Yeah.
The car lands, crashes in this massive explosive manner. Well, not actual, like, explosive, but it wrecked that car up good to the point where even people in the Furyverse were worried about Vin Diesel, who has proven himself invincible.
Right.
You know? And then the bad guy looks out of the helicopter, notices there's a bag of grenades hanging out off of the landing gear.
Yep.
More importantly, The Rock looks up.
Yeah.
Through the smoke and fire and sees that tiny bag. Yeah.
Pulls out his giant gun, takes three or four shots, and just blows that helicopter to smithereens.
Did he take three or four? I thought he only took one.
No, he took three or four. I'm pretty sure the first one hit the bag.
I believe.
But he
amazing.
Kept unloading, yeah.
Oh,
I just saw it again last night.
I believe.
So helicopter crashes, everybody's hanging around, they want Dom to be alive. Letty goes into how she's gotten all her memories back and now she's magically remembered.
I love
that
that was great.
They're
too.
Actually married.
Yeah.
You can't be dead because now I remember everything.
Yeah, right. Which no one knew they were married.
Yeah.
Not the audience, not
they
Letty.
Secretly
not,
got married.
No one but Vin Diesel knew they were married. But her remembering that brings him back to consciousness. Most of LA is destroyed, but everyone's happy.
He wakes up and says, boat tug.
Man.
In the most one-liner voice ever, you know?
Yeah, man, they killed a lot of cops in that movie, too. I guess they always do.
That was my favorite part. Like, how there
was
so, in that whole chase scene and the drone, like, there were so many cops that just saw, like, oh, a speeder, I'm going to go pull him over. And then they died. They got their car
exploded. They got droned.
Yeah. Like,
yeesh.
So, that's when, at that point, when they kind of switch over, The Rock is putting Jason Statham in this maximum security jail.
Not a scratch on him, by the way.
Yeah, neither of them.
Statham's cool.
They're just one-linering still.
Yeah.
You know? He's got him in handcuffs in his prison oranges. He's talking about how deep they are underground. There is a barrage of machine guns right outside of this one cell that is just for Jason Statham, and Jason Statham's still going, you know I'm not staying here, right? or The Rock. The Rock goes, you know, you get past 40 feet of concrete, however many bars plus this amount of guards and machine guns, and there's going to be two things waiting for you on the other side. My foot in your ass and a body bag, you know? So whenever you're ready, come on. And that's basically it. Then that's when the emotional part comes.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there's been a ton of emotional parts in this movie, but that's when the one, like, they flash back, the group's all at a beach, and this is when you know.
Yes,
okay.
Here's
what I've been wondering the whole time.
Right.
And they do a very, like, I don't want to
I don't want to just go over like second by second exactly what happens, but it's a very touching tribute and it's a very good send off to the character. They basically leave him, you know, they're at the beach, he's with his family, everyone's happy for them.
Well, yeah, like Vin Diesel like, does, they're all sitting there, yeah. And Diesel makes that point. He's like, that right, see right there, that's what this is all about.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And he's like,
this is where he belongs. He's where he's supposed to be.
He's where he's supposed to be with his family, yep. And they're all out there, you know, playing in the water and stuff while the rest of them are just watching.
Yep. He goes to leave, and they even, I think this was brilliant. They had the new girl, the hacker, was the one who went, you know, you're not even going to say goodbye, and Vin Diesel just goes, it's never goodbye.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sad music's already starting to play.
Yeah.
They show Diesel driving along, he stops, he's on this mountain track, and he stops at this stop sign, and lo and behold, this other car, you know, and he's in his American Muscle car, and this little import speedster drives up right next to him, and it is clearly digital Paul Walker, but it does not matter.
Right.
It's Paul Walker. And he pulls up right next to him and he goes, you know, you think you were going to leave without saying goodbye?
Yeah.
And like the sad music's playing, Diesel gets this kind of smile on his face. They even have the shot from the back of the cars, just like from the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
You know, and the race kind of starts. And it's not even shot like a race. Like, they're racing, but it's not like a fast-paced whatever. They're basically just driving together. And cue Vin Diesel's voiceover, you know, and I can't even begin to remember what the words he used, because every time I watch it, I'm just kind of caught up in the moment. But he's basically, you know, family, brother, you'll always be there. It's never goodbye, all that kind of thing, and they're showing the montage of Paul Walker through the films, which I had heard, I was under the understanding that this was like a Paul Walker montage.
Yeah.
Like everything Paul Walker. This was just Furious movies, which again is fine, that still spans his whole career. You know? But they kind of do that. But one of the things I loved about it, though, was it wasn't just like images of Walker. Like they highlighted the whole family.
Yeah.
Everybody got a piece of this montage. It was clearly Walker's montage, but you know, Diesel got some words in there. The whole crew, even some of the guys who were in old movies that weren't there anymore. You know, like you know, they had, you know, you could find Han and Gal Gadot and those twins or the brothers or whatever they were. Yeah. Like everybody was kind of in this thing somewhere, and it just kind of goes through. And they're cutting that back and forth with this again, this race that is not a race. This wonderful song is playing. It's Wiz Khalifa. Is that who it is?
I don't know.
And I can't remember. Well, it's one of those things where they found an actual sad fitting song and then put some rap into it. But it all worked. It flowed very well. And at the end of it, as they're driving along, there's just sort of an off ramp, and you just see from the overhead shot Walker's car takes the off ramp.
Yep. And just
while
like
Diesel's
drives
keeps
off.
Going. Yeah. Yeah. And like I'm getting chills. Like I'm getting more chills describing it than I think than I have watching it one or two times. It was the absolute perfect thing to do.
It was crazy because that movie ended and the entire theater was just sitting there in silence and nobody's getting up and everybody's just like, you could tell everybody in that theater is crying or they're trying not to cry.
Yeah.
it was crazy. Yeah.
It was, you know, and it was, it's weird too because I was convinced I was going to be bawling by the end of that movie.
Yeah.
And I would have been fine if I were. When I got to the, I mean, I was definitely choked up, but I was nowhere near as bad as I thought I would be. And I think that's because of the fitting nature and, I don't know the right word here, not the happy aspect of it, but like the closure aspect of it. Like they did what they absolutely had to do, the only way they could do it right, and it really did feel like, you know, this is where the character is gone, this is what the man himself would have wanted.
Right.
You know, this is the best tribute we can give to our friend and our brother, is to leave audiences with him like this.
Yeah.
And it was just so
They gave Brian O'Connor a happy ending with his family.
Yep.
And that was cool.
Yep.
That was the right way to do it.
Yep. So, now to recap that, which I think we're already way long on this episode, so we'll try to keep this kind of short.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I've ever seen a more perfect movie. And I don't mean that as to say that that's the best movie I've ever seen or my favorite or anything, but knowing the real life circumstances around that and knowing the franchise it's coming from, I cannot imagine a better, A, next logical progressive step in the franchise, B, wrap up for the real life tragedy that happened, all that stuff put together. You know, you couldn't have made a movie that powerful without some terrible circumstances coming around it, but you couldn't have taken those terrible circumstances and made a better movie either.
Yeah.
You know.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the entire thing was just, it was fun, and it was funny, and it was exciting, and then it just gave you that perfect ending that, like, couldn't have been any more perfect. I mean, it was just, the whole movie was just a really cool, like, it just left you feeling, you know, kind of happy and good for, like, these characters. And,
yeah.
Like, the movie just gave you exactly what you wanted it to give you.
Yep.
And that's just the best way to describe it.
Exactly. You know? And that's really, like I said, when I got to the end and I wasn't bawling, like, I almost felt bad. Like, I feel like I should be sadder. Except the movie gave me what I needed.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, I'm still really bummed. And I have been a Paul Walker fan from before there were Fast and Furious movies. Before I really loved the Fast and Furious movies, like 1, 2, and 3 came out. I didn't even see 2 or 3 immediately. I didn't see them until after the rest of them started coming out. Now, in retrospect, I love them. But, like I got excited when Timeline came out. I think I'm probably one of 6 people who have seen Timeline. You know? But I was like, hey, it's Richard Donner. It's a Michael Crichton movie. It's Paul Walker. I love Paul Walker, you know? Like, I've always been a fan. So it's not just like I love these movies and that one guy's gone. This is... You know, this was sad all around to me. But as far as needing any kind of closure for what was happening with that, again, I can't say it enough. This movie did what, as good as it could have done to provide that.
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk about the franchise more and how much we love that, but we are way over.
We're over. So but we did cover a lot of it, though. I mean, as we were kind of going. So.
Well, we're going to bring you back sometime and just do an actual...
Just talk about all
this of turned that. Into a Fast and Furious... Or a Furious 7. Let me get the title proper. This turned into nothing but Furious 7 for the end there. You're going to come back and we're going to do a Furyverse podcast.
Good.
I command it.
You command it.
Then
it shall be done at some point.
Just call me for the Terminator one. We'll be good.
Oh, we're so doing that.
Yeah. We'll definitely do an episode.
I can do it every month this summer is going to be like one regular episode and one special episode
of
this podcast.
That's pretty much what we're
going
to have to do with all of the stuff.
Because we'll probably do a Jurassic Park one. We'll definitely do a Marvel one.
There's
an Avengers one. Man, you got to
stop hating. We got to get a Daredevil episode too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Watching Daredevil.
I have seen one episode. I tell you what, that Friday that it started, I went. You know what? I'm gonna see this the second I can. So I committed to staying up till 3 a.m. because we live in the Central Time Zone.
Yeah.
To watch one episode, and I watched it, and I loved it, and I haven't. It's kind of one of those things where I don't want to go back until I have hours and hours to go back.
That's what I am, too.
Within the next 3 weeks, I will have watched it all, but I'll have watched it in a condensed area, and I'm not sure where in the 3 weeks it's going to land.
I watched the first 2 episodes and loved both of them, and then watched
super
both
excited
of
for
them
that show.
Again with Christina
nice.
To catch her up because she wants to watch it with me.
Well, and that's the other funny thing, too. Like, I'm going to watch it on my own and not wait for my wife, but I'm also going to make my wife watch it.
Well, that's
I've also got a couple of other people I know who don't have Netflix who want to come watch it. So I'll probably watch it 3 times in the next 3 months.
So I'm gonna try to watch a bunch of it this weekend and everything. So we'll definitely have to try to do a Daredevil episode, we'll have the Avengers episode right after that movie. So we have a lot of things that are really gonna be taking
cool stuff coming up. As always, if you guys have other stuff you want us to talk about or opinions you want to hear or anything you want us to expand on, you know, let us know. You can email at what are the ways they can get a hold of you, Dan?
Yeah, so the best way to get a hold of us now is through the Geek Easy Facebook page.
Yep.
We just set up a new Facebook page right around the time with the last podcast going up. So it's a fairly new page, but we're going to start trying to utilize that a lot more often. So that's the best place to go to, like, post comments or give us topic suggestions or even ask questions that you'd like to hear us talk about here on the podcast.
Or, you know, keep an eye on it in case we're talking about stuff on there or you can find out when new episodes are coming up, all that sorts of stuff.
Yep. So that's all you got to do is just go on Facebook and do a search for Geek Easy Podcast or go to facebook.com/Geek Easy Podcast.
Jaren, you've liked our page, haven't you?
Yep.
Excellent.
He was liking posts on there.
That's right.
I saw it.
Excellent.
It happens.
And then, of course, I'm on Twitter at PixelDan. John's on Twitter at JLeonard31. So you can always do the tweet thing, too, if you want to do
Jared's
that route.
Twitter.
So.
Yeah. Aren't you on Twitter?
What's your Twitter? Yeah. You want people to know?
It's Zero Hype Guy. At Zero Hype Guy.
At Zero Hype Guy. So there you go. Now you can talk to all three of us.
Also find me on Facebook. I got 2 of them.
There you go.
There you go.
You can find all of us everywhere and talk to us about whatever stuff you want to talk
Tell
about.
Tell us how much you love the Furyverse. I want to have...
direct conversations with you about it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, cool. And if you are listening to us on whatever platform you're listening to us on, please hit that subscribe button. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Podbean. So there's different ways you can follow us. Leave us an iTunes review. That's helpful to help spread the word on the podcast. That way more people can find us. All of that, we'd be very grateful for that. So just help us spread the word on the show, and we'll keep pumping out content for you
this
guys.
Is on iTunes?
It is on iTunes.
We're everywhere.
It's awesome, guys. We've made it. I didn't know.
Tell your friends how much you love us.
Yeah, that's right. Tell everybody. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our awesome two-hour episode here, but it was a fun discussion.
I could go four on these movies.
Yep. We could. I'm sure. Yeah, John could talk a lot more about it, but we'll definitely do it some more. All right, guys. Well, until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
And he is wrestling analyst Jaren McCaffrey.
Oh, sorry, I'm not
here,
a random.
Here to talk about Fast and the Furious movies. All right, we'll see you guys next time right here in the Geek Easy.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.